Andy in Kansas, you're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Hello, Alex. I'm a first-time caller. I'm a huge fan. I love your work.
I love you.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Knowledge Fight. I'm Dan.
I'm Jordan.
We are a couple dudes who like to drink novelty beverages and sit around and talk about Alex Jones.
We do talk about Alex Jones pretty much all the time.
Too much.
I think we talk about other stuff.
You know who
time
thinks
time.
We talk about him too much?
Literally everybody.
Me. You. Alex Jones. The three of us. The only thing we all agree on. We talk about Alex Jones way too much.
What are you going to do? Is there a twist to that? Is like they're because we can't just talk. It can't just be guys who are really, really knowledgeable about Alex Jones having like a really dry conversation.
No, like we're on Charlie Rose or
Shit. Yeah, yeah, we can't do that bullshit. Like, what are we, David Brooks?
No, you and Alex Jones know very little about Alex Jones. I know a lot about both of you.
Yes, that sounds about right.
Yeah, I've added a new wrinkle to it. I've studied up on you.
At the very least, my Scrabble habits.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, never going to lose again.
Absolutely.
So, if you're listening to this, this is a happy Monday to you. This is my, I don't have a job anymore.
This is Dan's Freedom Day.
Indeed. And I want to talk a little bit, just real quick. It was a weird experience on having a last day at an office that isn't like a, hey, all go fuck yourselves.
Right.
In my life, there's been a lot of like, you need to get out of here kind of last days, or last days where I'm like, fuck this shit. The it's hard to time leaving on your last day. You know what I'm saying?
Like getting out, like
physically.
Do I leave at 4:30 or?
Oh no, I was going to leave at 3:30 because I had a doctor's appointment. I timed it perfectly.
Very nice.
But I knew the bus was going to come into play, and so like I had to figure out. All right, I gotta go. I gotta say goodbye to just about everybody.
Why?
But because a lot of people would probably feel like I was a dick if I didn't, and a lot of people I liked a lot of people there.
Who cares? You're gone. You'll never see any of them again.
Nah, you go in with a respectful handshake and you say,
no.
It's been a pleasure working with you.
Dude, if you're not LinkedIn-ing these assholes, who gives a fuck?
I'll tell you what, I'm not LinkedIn-ing them. I don't think we can turn that into a verb.
No, I don't think it's going to happen.
It was just very weird because I went around and said the tertiary goodbyes, like the people in the warehouse and the service people. And then
too much work.
And then I was like, ah, shit.
Send a group email. God damn it, Dan.
I went and clicked on the bus tracker and I'm like,
oh no.
We got 20 minutes till that next
bus
comes.
Oh no. And it's too cold outside to just
totally,
wait.
Yeah.
Oh shit.
So I'm sitting in the office just drinking a beer because people
are giving you beer.
Yeah.
It's your last day.
So I'm sitting there just having a beer and they're like, you taking off? And I'm like, I will be soon. And so I'm sitting there for probably 8 to 10 minutes.
Right.
And then
just staring off into the middle distance, drinking a beer by yourself.
Almost in dead silence.
Yeah, of course.
And then once that time is up, I'm like, ooh, bus is going to be here in about 8 minutes. I get up, I'm like, y'all, it has been a pleasure. I go walk one by one.
You doubled it down.
Yeah, exactly.
All right.
Well, I didn't say goodbye to people in the main office.
Okay.
That's what I saved until the bus was gone. But anyway. Mm.
Every job I've ever quit, my goal has been one day I'm there and then the next day people go, is somebody missing? And that's it. That's
Irish goodbye the
yeah,
whole thing.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
fuck all of you.
There's something to that, but I feel very adult about having gone through the, maybe it's a rite of passage, an Alex Jonesian rite of passage.
Okay.
But it was
You're
nice.
Now a young professional, Dan.
Indeed. I'm a young professional propaganda fighter.
I bestow that upon you.
I appreciate it. Something I'm going to bestow upon some people.
There you go.
Yeah.
There you go. That's a transition.
I got to give a shout out to some of our new donors. Really excited about this. We have two donors who have joined on board, new policy wonks. Both named Jesse. One with an I, one without.
All right.
So we're going to do two.
So I assume one of them is so excited.
Mm-hmm.
So excited.
Can't hide it.
So excited.
And one of them.
So excited.
So scared.
So scared.
And one of them, their mom has got it going on.
Yeah.
So this
That's
one.
That's Jamie's mom.
No. Jesse? No, maybe it is.
No, you're thinking about Jesse's
8675309?
No, that one's a different song.
Okay. That's Jenny. A lot of J names confuse me. Anyway, this one is for the one.
No, that's Stacy's mom. What's happening? What is fucking happening? You, oh, Jesus Christ.
I need a job.
Yeah.
I can't remember names.
You don't have
a job.
Any focus.
Yeah. So this one is for Jesse with an I.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you very much for joining
us. Welcome aboard, Jesse with an I.
This is for Jesse without an I.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you so much for joining up.
Welcome aboard the Weird Uncle from Full House.
Now, I need to do this. I have realized that there are a couple people who have donated on a level that is not even specified on our Patreon page.
Okay.
They are too generous, and we really appreciate it. And I just have decided to create a new level for them.
Bounce it up!
There are two people who fall into this category. One we've given a shout-out to in the past, and I'd like to give another one to now that we have a specific label for it.
I'm excited to hear this. I have not heard this.
Maria and John C., we thank you so much. You are very generous, and we appreciate your help keeping the show afloat. I was thinking about it. We've got policy wonk.
Right.
We've got foreign policy wonk.
What else could there be?
Well, we have one guy who's a Protocols of Zion wonk.
That is...
But that's just a specific title that he has for himself.
Good
Mike
call.
B.
Yes.
But I was figuring, like, what is the, like, supreme title that we could give somebody? And I decided, Maria and John C., you two are officially globalists.
I'm a policy wonk.
4 stars. Go home to your mother and tell her you're brilliant.
Someone sodomite sent me a bucket of poop.
Andy Sharp. Bum, 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 bum. Andy.
So.
You went for it on that.
I did.
I think that was a murderer's row of all of our out of context drops.
It is. I was trying to come up with something very special for you all. And so there you go. We do appreciate it so much. And if you'd like to become a policy wonk or a foreign policy wonk or a globalist, you can do so by going to our website, knowledgefight.com, clicking support the show. It is increasingly important as I now do not have a job. And I just realized today we are 65% of the way towards you and I having to do a drunk commentary on the Obama deception.
Ooh.
So if people want to work towards that.
I think that's a real goal.
Yeah. So, you know, just chip in a little bit, see if we can do our drunk commentary.
We could also sell that to Riff Tracks and see if they would host that on their website.
Let's get Mike Nelson to come over.
Oh, that'd be so good.
Get wasted and watch Prison Planet State. I don't remember the other
ones.
Yeah,
I wouldn't worry about it.
So, Jordan.
Yeah.
Speaking of policy wonks, today we are fulfilling a special request of one of our very special policy wonks. Alan out there, he has insisted that we get, I don't know if Alan's his real name, that's just on Twitter. Anyway, be that as it may, I don't really give a shit.
I think Alan Thicke would probably hide behind
it's Robin Thicke.
It's Robin.
Hiding under the name Adam. Alan, I don't know names.
There we go.
I don't know
You're
names.
You're struggling today.
I won't be here in a minute.
No, of course. When you have your research in hand, you're fine.
You know what the problem is? I started drinking.
We got to get you a script.
I started drinking coffee again today.
Ooh.
That's the problem.
Ooh, now you're all jumbled up?
Yeah, yeah. I think I'm...
Wait, started drinking coffee again?
Yeah.
There was a time where you didn't drink coffee?
Well, I worked at a coffee distribution center.
I drink a pot of coffee every day.
I regret to say that I was on a long energy drink kick.
That's too long.
Yeah.
That's too much.
Now that I'm, you know, I'm 33 years old, I gotta not be drinking all that shit. Anyway.
Come back to black coffee.
Alan
Thicke.
Alan Thicke has demanded that we go back in time.
Yes.
Take a little trip.
Nice little time travel episode.
Indeed. He has requested that we go to May 2nd and 3rd of 2012.
Did he also request we do the longest preamble we've ever done?
I think we've done longer.
That's possible.
This has only been 8 minutes, quite frankly.
Fair.
So
I'm sure we've gotten up to the 25-minute mark at one point.
Undoubtedly. There is... the reason that I understand that he suggested this as a time to go back to is that he wanted to see what the spin would be of the Osama bin Laden killing burial at sea.
Yes.
So that was the...
Because he can't be unequivocally happy. He can't just be like, this is the only good thing Obama's ever done.
Right.
He has to make up a different reason for why it happened.
Right, or say it didn't happen at all.
Mm.
But that happened in 2011. So this is actually the anniversary of Osama bin Laden being killed.
Okay.
So this is 1 year later.
So I assume he's going to have the same narrative that he did a year prior.
Just to be sure, I went back and listened to...
I knew you would!
...the 2011 episode on March 3rd, or May 3rd, excuse me, and it's not worth going over, really.
Right.
It's not that interesting. But, accidentally, the 2nd and the 3rd of May in 2012 gives us an amazing glimpse into what kind of propaganda Alex Jones was putting out back in 2012.
Right.
Before all this
bullshit.
Before
the whole Trump situation happened
even,
at all.
And even before, like, because even in 2015, in our investigation, we found, like, a pretty particular style of thing.
Right.
That he's going on. There's still demons. There's still all this shit. That wasn't really all that active in 2012.
Mm.
So it's fun to go back and
this is back when he just hated the president because he was black.
Basically.
Yeah.
But he also hated Bush. Let's be fair where
right,
we have to be
right, but not because
fair.
He was black.
No. Not black enough. So let's start. We're going to start on May 2nd, and we'll get to May 3rd a little bit after that. The narratives on the two shows are completely different in amazing ways.
Okay.
And this is how Alex starts out the show on May 2nd, 2012.
The second day of May 2012 transmission. I'm Alex Jones, your host. We're going to have Dr. Steve Pachinik joining us in the second hour, and we're going to open the phones up for most of that hour. I'm really trying to get to more of your calls because they're always so informative.
Nah.
And by that, he means I take them as sources.
Yeah.
Also, spoiler alert, Steve Pachinik does not show up, and the reason is fucking hilarious.
All right.
But I'm going to open the phones up for U.S. military in the second hour, specifically Afghan vets, because I can't tell you how many emails come in. I'm going to be honest with you. I don't have an email.
Right.
They set me up emails. Somehow it gets out. I end up spending all my time trying to read my email. I don't know how other big websites do it. How does the Drudge Report, that probably gets, you know, five times the traffic we get, how do they do it?
How does
the Daily Caller, how does WorldNet Daily, how do they do it? So I just use text messages on my phone, and I use IMs to the crew, and they've all got emails. So what happens is they bring me in big piles of interesting emails.
So
you sound like a weird old man, Alex.
In the woods.
I don't know how to use emails.
And I know he has an email.
Of course.
But I think he's had one for a really long time.
Well,
what he's really expressing is I don't know how. I can't stay on top of it.
Exactly.
But this is an uninspired beginning to an episode.
Yeah, it's not great.
This is, hey, I want to talk to Army veterans, from Afghanistan that'll reinforce my narrative, but at the same time, I'm just gonna tiptoe into this episode. I'm not really feeling it.
Yeah.
We'll see how this changes over the course of
time. He's got a very lethargic attitude at this point.
A little bit. Very unanimated. This is not the Alex we're used to. Here's what happens immediately after that last clip.
I'm digressing. It's one reason the show's good, one reason it's bad. I start thinking about troops sending me emails, and then it turns into a whole discussion I was having this morning about the nightmare of email. But hundreds of emails have come in.
The nightmare.
It's a meme, because we weren't even talking about troops in Afghanistan, saying none of them buy the bin Laden killing. I told you I've talked to a Navy SEAL who has a friend who's in SEAL Team 6. They believe their helicopter was blown up, both of them. The one at the site of the staged Easter Bunny bin Laden killing. And it's love to say Easter Bunny. I don't know why. People have, like, Tourette syndrome and stuff. I guess I have Easter Bunny syndrome. But anyways, right. Continuing here.
That's a real syndrome.
It's just ridiculous. All this New World Order bull is just total mythology is my point. And nothing's more ridiculous than the Easter Bunny. But you ever had family gets mad at you because you won't lie to your kids about Easter bunnies and Santa Claus and tooth fairies?
Tooth fairies.
Side issue. I guess you're a conspiracy theorist if you don't believe in Santa Claus.
No,
but I'm digressing
way
now, completely off the reservation.
So he
you are completely off the reservation. I agree.
He later
the weird discussion of the ranking of disbelievability regarding fantasy creatures.
Mm-hmm.
Love it.
He later is like, I'm in a comedy mood. That's why I'm talking about the Easter Bunny so much.
Sounds right.
Yeah.
Sounds right.
It's just like he has no foothold here. He's sort of meandering. And like you said, he's off the reservation.
He's rambling.
Yeah. And look at this. This is where his ramble goes after that.
See, I'm so busy. I was put in touch with former and current Navy SEALs that wanted to expose a bunch of info by former head of the Screen Actors Guild. You know, pretty
sounds
high-powered
like that guy knows
media
a lot of
person.
Marines.
And I never even called the guy's number. That's my problem. I'm just going in too many directions. I just remembered that ball I dropped. And now it's gotten to the point of all I think about is all the balls I'm dropping. And I've never really been like that. It's just that now
Your son was around teenage.
All the information's coming in, and it's like I'm Robbie the Robot with smoke coming out of my ears. And I know that's how you are as well, with your children and work and taxes.
I think that
with your children and work and taxes, he's going into Jackie Mason territory.
Totally. And I think there's a pretty substantial difference between your kids and work and taxes and fighting the globalists.
Is there?
Yes.
At the end of the day, it's just another thing you gotta do.
It kind of is just an item on the checklist.
Frankly, you know, you're like, I gotta take the garbage out, but in a way that fights the globalists. I gotta raise my kids, but in a way that fights the globalists.
I was too busy.
I'm gonna watch the new season of Stranger Things.
In
a way that fights the globalists.
I was too busy taking out the trash and paying my taxes. I forgot to call back a very legitimate whistleblower.
Like, yeah, I know. Like, right?
If your main mission,
you have no due diligence at all. You're just like, oh, I just let that one go. You could still call him.
Let's imagine a scenario where Kurt Nimmo, he's one of the guys who's left InfoWars and says Alex Jones is a huge fraud.
Right.
He's put that out on Twitter before.
Because he's a huge fraud.
If Kurt Nimmo were to get in touch with me, I would drop literally everything I was doing and be like, hey, Kurt, what's going on? Like,
right.
That's what I would do.
We talked to Larry Nichols, for fuck's sake.
And that was pointless.
Yeah.
That we did that.
A complete fucking lunatic.
Yeah. So Alex is just meandering his way. Like, I keep pointing that out. But it's because this is the first, like, 15 minutes of the show. The first 10 minutes, there's nothing. There's no traction other than him saying that no one believes the Osama bin Laden killing story.
Or the Easter Bunny story.
No one believes that, except little kids, because they're dumb.
And let me tell you something. Nobody believes in Astarte anymore, either.
What is that?
And that's a sad thing.
What's that?
Well, that's the reason we have Easter.
Oh.
Easter, Astarte, she was a goddess.
Okay.
In ancient, what is it, Greek? Roman times?
That's not one of the Greek ones I know
of. She was
the
goddess of spring.
Oh, no, that's Demeter. And Persephone.
All right.
Maybe in Greek. Yeah. Let's not go down the mythology path.
I think we're engaging with what Alex is saying right now.
I think it was.
Isn't that our job?
Yeah, I guess so. But let's engage with something that he says that we can actually look into and prove that he's lying about.
Maybe Persian?
Might be. Anyway, here's the next clip.
We are going to have open phones for the military, namely
That's
Afghanistan veterans. When Steve Pachinik is on the broadcast, Dr. Pachinik, psychiatrist.
That's sort of a lie.
Government overthrower,
That's
assassin, and of course, co-author of many Tom Clancy books.
Is that
And he
is?
Has talked
so.
About
yeah,
here
Clancy
on the air
ghost, right?
The fact that bin Laden was dead back in 2002. And of course, the CIA and the meeting with him at the American hospital in Dubai. All of that came out on CBS News after Dr. Pachinik had talked about it. Then Walter Cronkite came out and said they had him on ice and were going to roll him out. And so did Madeleine Albright, former Secretary of State. So very credible.
So, I'm going to go out on a limb and I'm going to say he is at the very least willfully misinterpreting quotes.
Quite a bit.
Yeah.
Quite a bit. So I did some looking into Walter Cronkite statements that he's made, and I think I can play this just straight from my computer. So let's see. Here is Walter Cronkite in an interview in 2002 about bin Laden and something that he thinks is a problem.
Press freedoms. Tell us your thoughts on this momentous issue at this
time.
Well,
Steve, I wouldn't have thought that there was going to be a sea change in how we practice journalism. Until I read a couple of days ago that the traditional networks had agreed, and indeed the cable news networks had agreed with a request by the government that it not carry bin Laden's propaganda broadcasts in this country.
So that is something that he takes issue with, and he goes on to discuss how all the other countries, like Al Jazeera and BBC and other, all of these other news outlets in foreign countries do play them, and he thinks it's sort of irresponsible, and it's a bad sign for the press when the government is telling them not to air these things.
And they just roll over like
bitches. And they acquiesce.
Yeah.
So that's one thing.
It's not really too much of a surprise now to see so many different screaming shows, because while that was reasonable, intelligent, and informative.
Also boring.
Super boring.
Very measured speech.
Wow, is that boring.
Right, right. And, you know, understandable. So then, clearly in 2002, he believes that bin Laden's still alive.
Yes.
Based on the what he says in that interview.
Right.
Then in 2004 or thereabouts, it had to be in 2004 because it has to do with the events of the election. And he had an interview with Larry King, and he said he believed that, you know, he clearly is believing that bin Laden's still alive. And he says, that, he believes that Karl Rove may have set up the bin Laden tape that came out in 2004. He says this as it relates to, it being advantageous to the, Nancy Pelosi now.
Yeah, there it is.
To the Bush campaign, they bring out this terrorist message.
Right, that Osama is still around.
He's not saying that Karl Rove worked with bin Laden, although Alex might try and present that as what Cronkite is saying.
Also, with Karl Rove, nothing's off the table.
Anything is in play.
Yeah.
But he's saying that it's... I mean, if you take the context of that last clip, the 2002 interview, into consideration with what he says in that Larry King interview, they combine to be like, why are they putting out this tape now when before they had a restriction on right. playing bin Laden's tapes.
Right.
And obviously that's a really good point. Has nothing to do with bin Laden faking being dead or no. anything like that. So Walter Cronkite one does not match up. It doesn't check out necessarily. So Madeleine Albright.
That whole bag.
Very classy discourse here on Knowledge Type.
Hey, I'm no Walter Cronkite. I've never aspired to be either.
So Madeleine Albright was quoted as saying, "Do you suppose that the Bush administration has Osama bin Laden hidden away somewhere and will bring him out before the election?" And this is a quote from Fox News analyst and roll call executive editor Mort Kondracki. And he goes on to say she was not smiling. She's insisted that she was speaking tongue-in-cheek. The quote that she had is, "To my amazement, Mr. Kondracki immediately went on the air to repeat the comment, which was made to a person I thought was a friend and smart enough to know the difference between a serious statement and one that was not." And look, here's the deal. We've seen in the past that Madeleine Albright is not that great at making off-the-cuff statements.
She is, like most sociopaths, devoid of a sense of humor.
Right. She's made number one, even stuff that we've discussed here on the show that Alex misrepresents and, you know, she's gone on record and apologized for. This
right.
is clearly a joke that didn't land. Or Mort Kondracki is just sort of an opportunist.
Yeah. And, well, he works for Fox News.
Right. So I looked into his past a little bit.
How
and,
did it go?
He defended waterboarding pretty vociferously during the Bush era.
Hero.
He said in 2006, "You would figure that terrorists will plan more upsurges in violence in Iraq to help Bush's adversaries."
Hero.
So he's went on Fox News and was saying that, like, obviously, terrorists are going to try and help the Democrats.
Of course.
Linking Democrats and terrorists. He has a pattern of uncritically airing conservative propaganda pieces as news on his Fox shows. He's had a couple of shows on Fox.
Hero.
One from the Center of Security Policy and one for Progress for America in particular. He's equated NSA domestic spying with World War II code breaking.
That is dumb on an offensive level.
Right.
That's the dumbest take I have ever heard.
It's hot.
He was saying it's okay. I have not
like
used
that.
The word flabbergasted in a long time.
Yeah.
But that flabbergasts me in the present tense.
I think anyone who was watching the video could see that in your face.
Yeah.
Just a whoa.
That's bananas.
He's also been pushing.
Because that suggests that we're fighting a war against our own people.
Absolutely.
That's exactly what that means.
Uh-huh. Yep. That's the subtext.
All right.
He's also been pushing for war with Iran since at least 2005, 2006.
Because he's a hero.
Right. So I don't take him necessarily as a great source.
Do you mean as a completely stupid and unreliable source who is more than willing to lie directly to your face?
It seems that way.
Yeah.
And so when I looked into, like, what could Alex use instead as, like, people, prominent people who have maybe cast dispersions on the idea that bin Laden was killed in 2011.
Right.
There's one that comes up that Alex should have used.
Me.
No. Benazir Bhutto.
Okay.
Benazir Bhutto had an interview in 2000.
Already? Fun name.
It's great.
Fun name.
Great. She was interviewed in 2007 and said that someone had murdered Osama bin Laden.
Mm-hmm.
She says it in passing, and it's unclear if you listen to the context of the entire interview. It's not really clear at all if she's misspeaking, because that's not the point of the interview. And it doesn't come, like, she's being interviewed by David Frost.
Mm-hmm.
And at no point is he like, hold on now. Hold on. You're telling me Osama bin Laden was murdered. What's going on? It's just, they move past it in a way that leads me to believe, if you watch it, she meant to say another name and she said Osama bin Laden.
Okay.
It's not clear. Plus, the idea that he was murdered doesn't jive with the ideas that these other conspiracy theorists have of him dying of, like, kidney failure in the mountains of Pakistan.
Right, right.
So that, to me, makes me
think... He died of porn overload, am I right, guys? We found what was in there. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So
Osama been jerking off. Yeah, there it is.
So even if you use a better example, Benazir Bhutto, it still doesn't work.
Still stupid.
Walter Cronkite, Madeleine Albright, terrible examples. I'm not here to discuss whether or not, like, I'm certain that Osama bin Laden was killed in 2011 in the context that we are told he was. I don't know. From everything I can glean, I believe it enough.
Uh-huh.
Because the things that people keep pointing out, things like why would they throw his body into the ocean, that sort of thing, that's not that weird to me.
No.
The arguments of we don't want to create a holy shrine to him or something like that.
Yeah.
That checks out. That passes muster
yeah.
for me. I don't need much more than that.
I mean, they could have, of course, buried him in the middle of the desert and slaughtered a camel child so that only
a camel child?
A camel, a calf. Mm. So that only its mother knew where the camel calf died.
Interesting.
And then they could let the mother, who would always know where the camel calf died, lead them back to the body if they ever wanted to visit. This is an ancient practice.
I'm pretty sure
it happened somewhat like that to Genghis Khan, but they also killed like 40 bodyguards.
I believe that the way our government works, that would be cost prohibitive.
That wouldn't fly at the very least.
You'd need to set up like 6 organizations in order to get this calf. You know, it would be a lot of red tape.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. PETA would really hate down on Genghis Khan.
So now I want to talk about Steve Pachinik for a second. He is a PSYOP
do
dude.
Ya?
I do.
Okay.
He's a PSYOP dude. And so Alex is saying that he came on in 2002 to say that Osama bin Laden was dead, and he came out with all this stuff. When you consider it in the context of a PSYOP operator,
There we go. I was waiting for it.
You know, one of the things that happens pretty consistently throughout our wars, like these things happened in Vietnam, in Korea, in World War II, rumors of the leader's death of the other side are a very popular tactic.
It's pretty easy to do.
It's something that you do hoping that the forces will become disenchanted, their morale will go down, and they won't fight. Thinking that their leader has been cut
Absolutely.
Off.
Absolutely. You drop fucking leaflets.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You see this over and over again throughout the history of war.
Right.
And so the idea that Steve Pachinik, a PSYOP guy, is coming onto Alex Jones's show and saying this traditional war PSYOP language.
Yeah.
It leads me to believe that that's what he was up to. Now, the problem
is,
when you're working with terrorist organizations and you're working with these nebulous groups like Al-Qaeda was in the early 2000s, they weren't fighting for bin Laden. They were fighting for ideology. They were fighting against us.
They were fighting against murder.
Right.
Against themselves being murdered.
Exactly. And so the idea that even if this PSYOP was successful and these terrorists did think bin Laden was dead, that would not stop them from the crusade they were on. Or from the war that they were in the middle
of. Again, he would just be a martyr.
Right.
That's a flashpoint.
The only end result of this PSYOP that I believe Steve Pachinik was running is to make Americans distrustful of their own government, which I don't know if that was the intended consequence or an unfortunate consequence, but it certainly bears out on InfoWars.
And it's not like we needed that much help.
No.
I don't think we've trusted the government for a good long while.
No, for good reason.
Yeah.
But be that as it may, that's really what I wanted to talk about in terms of this. All the rest of this is not going to have much to do with bin Laden.
Okay.
That is.
Of course not. It's the anniversary.
That is his most. Well, he takes a bunch of calls. And we'll see. There's a call that's going to come up that gets him off track.
Right.
But he takes calls from, like, a wife of a Marine who has gossip. And like,
that sounds fun.
Right. But he just takes these calls from people who are like, what are you doing? Here's one. Here's one of the calls that he gets.
So what part of the CIA are you in, Michael? Oh, yes. This is very nice.
Fake laugh.
Right. So, I mean,
double the rare fake laugh to fake laugh.
Right. So there's shit like that. The calls are terrible. He's not getting any real information out
Nobody's
of anybody.
Nobody's from the CIA.
No. And so, like, all of this, he wants to talk about Bin Laden, but all he can really do is say it's fake, SEAL Team 6, blah.
Yeah.
You know, so there's nothing.
See, now I want to believe that they did kill Osama in 2002.
Right.
And then just for 9 years, just Weekend at Bernie's him from place to place to place.
That'd be fun.
Absolutely.
That'd be fun.
Like, just drop him in anywhere.
Right. The number of people it would require in order to pull this off is prohibitive. Like, the amount of people that it would take to hide this for 9 years.
Yeah.
Among two different administrations. And, like, what would that be? Two elections, different staff at every layer of department offices and stuff. It would be impossible.
The bureaucracy would go wild.
It would be a complete mess.
I think there's only one full-on conspiracy where the infrastructure did not break at any one point in time, and that was Scientology infiltrating the IRS.
Interesting.
Though they fucking rocked it.
Yeah.
There were about 90 people, all who had worked there for like 4 years plus, and they executed this just deleting all of Scientology's records.
Yeah.
It was amazing.
Some good work.
Yeah. No, they all need to, you know, be, what's that?
Get a raise.
Deprogrammed.
No, that's Stefan Molyneux shit.
Yeah.
Who cares? Anyway, let's get on to it. Here's the next narrative that Alex comes up with. And it's, dumb. And I can prove all three of the stories he tells are lies.
Speaking of the cash issue, let me just cover this now. Tennessee man arrested and imprisoned for using cash. It was an older $50 bill. They arrested him and kept him in jail. And then finally, the evidence area said, I think this is real money. And they released him, but said, you better go cash this in at the bank for something new. So he's bad.
So let's talk about this story.
Wait, what? Did he just say he's bad?
Yeah, he's bad because you got to go change his money in. Yeah.
Oh, no. I agree. This is bad. This is out of control.
No. He's saying that...
The police state has gone nuts. Even if you do use a fake $50 bill, they should take your $50 bill away and be like, hey, calm it down.
So this is a story about a man in Tennessee, and he used a super old $50 bill.
Yeah.
So the clerk at the Quick Mart where he tried to use this bill notified police because the fraud pen that you have at...
Yeah, yeah,
I've worked at a gas station. No. You have that pen that you're supposed to mark any bill over a 20 with.
Right.
And the pen marked the bill as fake. And so they called the police. And here's a quote from the officer. The front side of the bill was off center, and it didn't feel like a normal bill. It didn't. It did look to be counterfeit, Officer Brock Horner said in his report.
We thought... It was weird because it had Jefferson Davis on it. It was a very old $50 bill.
Confederate 50. Horner took the bill to two banks where it was determined as, quote, real but very old at one and proven real by a black light and magnifying glass at another. A judicial commissioner had Gasper, that's the guy who tried to use the 50,
yeah,
released from jail after 3 hours. He was in jail for 3 hours.
It's too long
in
for
a holding cell.
Bill.
And Horner apologized for the arrest, the report said. Gasper was told by Horner to take the bill to a bank and have it exchanged for a newer one. So they didn't fucking say, like, you're bad, take this bill and da. They were just like, this bill is 70 years old. It shows up as counterfeit by our modern technology.
Yeah.
You've got it. This should be out of circulation. But also, you can hear in there, he apologized about it because it is a misunderstanding that is very reasonable to make. The pen marked it as counterfeit, and they had to take it to two banks and use a black light and a magnifying glass to prove that it was real.
What's that dude's story?
Gasper?
Where did he get that fucking bill?
I don't know.
Why does he still have that fucking
it's
bill?
It's crazy.
How old is he?
He was an old dude.
Also, that bill is probably worth more than $50.
Probably.
Yeah, don't you be giving that bill out.
Yeah, I mean, the money with imperfections is usually, that's usually very collectible.
Absolutely, and antique money, he probably could have gotten at least $500 for that $50
probably.
Bill. Yeah.
I mean, not now that it's marked by the counterfeit pen. It's not mint anymore.
I disagree. I think that makes it even more exciting.
Right,
the bill that beat counterfeiting.
This bill lies.
Yeah, exactly.
But you understand, like, there's a reasonable situation where he should have been taken to the police station.
Yeah.
Because there's a chance that he is counterfeiting money or something like that.
Eh, I don't think he should have been taken to the police station.
That is debatable, and I don't care.
It's a 50.
I don't really care to have that debate.
Yeah.
Just the debate that Alex Jones is wrong is enough.
Gotcha.
And he is wrong. He's lying. He's pretending that the crime is using money, and the crime, which turns out it wasn't a crime, and they apologized for holding him.
Yeah.
Was that it was shown to be counterfeit. Even the cop who got there
and
thought
even
it was counterfeit.
That guy knows how to use email, Alex.
Right. So let's move on to the next story.
And I see articles routinely where people just show. Well, I had a friend, Chris Athanas. I haven't talked to him in years. I think he still lives in Austin. Software engineer, you know, well to do, middle class guy.
What happened?
A patriot.
To your relationship?
Knew him down at Access TV. And he went to prison for years. He was down on the edge of UT, and he was talking about silver. This is like 6-7 years ago. And he showed it to some people, and they called the police on him, thinking it was illegal to have a silver coin. And then
sounds right.
It turned out he wasn't even on the UT campus, but they came off the campus saying, well, there's a buffer, and he had his concealed carry. And so they came, they got him for the silver, tried to charge him for that, and ended up trumping up stuff for being near a college campus with a firearm. No criminal record, software engineer, part of the community, developing all sorts of, you know, software that's well known out there.
Sure.
And that's the American dream now.
So,
boy, there are enough details in here for me to read a little bit between the lines,
mm-hmm.
and it's like, oh, this dude done fucked up.
Not totally, but also I could find no evidence he was actually arrested. I can find no...
Okay.
Because we have his name. I know the date of the incident.
Uh-huh.
I can't find an arrest record from anywhere around then.
How about a Facebook page?
I found the guy's LinkedIn.
Oh, that's nice. Maybe he could get you a new job.
Maybe. I found...
Software engineer or silver guy.
I found Chris Athanos's, his LinkedIn page, and it doesn't... I mean, why would you put, I was in prison for a few years.
It's not a good thing to put
over
that
a gun charge.
Not a good
Might
one.
Not put that on LinkedIn. But he's, you know, he looked like a normal guy. The only two things I could find from Chris Athanos that were in any way interesting was, one, he has a page from MUFON.
Oh, boy.
Which, as we know, is the Mutual UFO Network.
Yeah.
Which is, and there's no information on it. But his name is on a MUFON site.
Okay.
And so he has a collection of ghost sightings or alien sightings on the site, but it's empty. It's completely empty. So I got nothing on that.
Okay.
Although
they really missed an opportunity. It should be called MUFON.org.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
I think it predates though.
Yeah, I know. They still got time.
So
you gotta raise that profile. Do something Knowledge Fight cannot do.
No. So the other thing I found was an organization called LibertyDollar.org, and they put out a...
Oh, this can't be great.
They put out a periodical newsletter, and I found their newsletter from April of 2003, which is when Chris Athanos was allegedly arrested. Which
and
again,
there was a code in it that said, Chris Athanos, kill, kill,
no, that was
kill!
That was in the March issue. I can.
Who else would have gotten Obama or Osama?
Like I said though, I can't see I can't find any like mugshot. I can't find any record of him doing time or anything like that. And if he did, I apologize. It's just not. It's, you know, I don't mean to disparage, but it's not out there.
Hey, sometimes you can get that expunged from your public record.
It's possible.
Yeah.
So they
or Alex is lying about you because you guys had a falling out and Alex didn't want to talk to you anymore, so he just made up a reason.
So in this LibertyDollar.org, they have a passage in this very terrible newsletter.
Zine.
Yeah, it's just a Word doc, basically. There's no bells,
ooh,
no whistles.
Ooh.
But one of them is the incident of the month, one of the sections.
Now I'm in.
And so here, I'll just read from this. On April 14th, 2003, in Austin, Texas, an incident occurred that just shows how a small misstep can create a big problem. And most unfortunately, this incident involved Chris Athanas, one of our most successful associates and the RCO for South Austin. Like so many times, Chris offered a cashier a choice of either a $10 silver Liberty coin or $20 Federal Reserve note to attend a comedy show at a University of Texas venue, and didn't think much that a, quote, friendly police officer was on guard next by nearby. Chris paid with the Federal Reserve note, as that was preferred by the cashier, and went into the show.
Already we can see in this, if your newsletter calls it a Federal Reserve note,
yeah,
you guys are wacky.
You're suspicious.
Yep.
Also, we can already tell he was at a University of Texas venue, so he was on campus property.
What comedy show is he? Was
it's probably the Blue Collar.
What time is this? What year?
2003.
2003?
Yeah.
Oh, it's probably Brian Posehn.
Could be.
That was the year Comedians of Comedy was really breaking.
That is true. Yeah, it could have been. So he gives him the 20, goes into the show. Shortly, the police officer found Chris and asked to see the, quote, coin. I think the quotation marks in there are a little, fuck off, a little bit of a flare. Mistakenly, the officer thought it was illegal, so he asked Chris to step outside, which he did. Now, I'm going to read through the subtext. I believe that the person who worked the door here thought this guy was trying to pull a scam.
Yeah, of course.
And flagged down the police officer. That's my guess.
Yeah.
That's my guess. So during a brief discussion, the officer and the backup officer asked Chris for his identification. Chris refused, stating his Fourth and Fifth constitutional rights. The officers informed Chris that he would be arrested if he did not produce identification. When Chris finally produced his ID, he also produced his right to carry a concealed weapon permit. This led to an inquiry as to where the weapon was, and ultimately to Chris being arrested for having a weapon in a prohibited area, a school. So there we go. That's their version of it.
All right. So Chris is a lunatic who likes to carry guns wherever he goes.
To schools and comedy shows.
Does not realize that it's illegal to do so in public spaces like a school.
Right, whereas Alex's version of this would be like, hey, it's totally legal to carry your gun everywhere. I have my rights, my sovereignty.
I just heard the massive collective sigh the two police officers had.
Mm-hmm.
He was like, I don't need to show you ID. I have the Fourth and Fifth Amendment. And they were like, fuck.
Yeah.
One of you.
But again, second story had nothing to do with money.
Right.
It's money adjacent in as much as someone being slightly suspicious about someone's intentions.
Yeah.
Led to the actual problem.
Yeah, that's a classic asshole / con man move of is like, I got a $20 bill. Or
you can have the shiny thing.
Yeah,
here.
Exactly. Like, fuck you, dude. Just pay with a Federal Reserve note, asshole.
You can take this 20 or this chunk of gold.
Yeah.
And it's pyrite or something. So here's the next one.
But I see these cases where one case I remember was a few years ago. A guy goes into Best Buy and he had, I think he was buying film.
Sounds like a street joke.
Or a memory stick or something. You can pull up the article. Guys, type man arrested for using $2 bill at Best Buy.
And he is exactly.
And then we can pull up the original info. It's like 5-6 years ago, so I forget the details. But all I remember about it was is that he had done something with Cub Scouts where he was teaching about the Declaration of Independence. That's on the back of a $2 bill. It's a beautiful engraving. I know because I went to the U.S. Mint once when I was a kid in D.C.
And
I bought a whole
sheet.
In fact, it's somewhere around here.
The guy, he gave tours. He gave, like, tours that children took.
Okay.
So he didn't work with Boy Scouts or anything like that. But he did have, like, an official capacity. Anyway.
Okay. Good for him.
Back to Alex's story about going to the Mint.
I need to get it framed. And it came in a red tube of $2 bills that they were selling as one sheet uncut. And I guess I can get arrested for that. I bought it at the U.S. Mint.
Nope.
But...
weren't circumcised, were you, Alex?
See, I digress in these stories.
Uncut.
And he had been teaching the Cub Scouts about it.
He didn't.
And he was showing it to them, if memory serves.
It doesn't.
And then he had some left. He'd been handing them out, teaching them about the Declaration of Independence. So he went in to buy something at Best Buy, and they said, this is illegal. This isn't real. And the managers and all of them were so stupid. I would have just walked out, but the security guard blocked him. That they thought it was illegal, and the cops were so ignorant. That's what's so dangerous about the public's not even so much evil. They're just dumb, ignorant morons. Not just the police. The general public are just dangerously stupid. And he went to jail.
I agree.
He went to jail. In fact, you guys found the article. You put it up. Man arrested, cuffed after using $2 bills. Best Buy customer on being jailed. At this point, I'm a mass murderer. And let me see if I was right about the Cub Scouts. Let's see how good my memory is.
Not great.
That is from, what year is that from?
This is riveting.
2005. Riveting. So see, I said 6 years ago. It's actually like seven.
Whoa.
See if I'm right about the Cub Scout thing. I know it was some youth deal.
So I left a lot of that in there. Like you're responding to like, oh, this is riveting radio to sort of illustrate like this is what his show was like back then.
Yeah, this is very.
It's wild.
This is me. This is rambling bullshit. Like,
it's more information.
It's like a story told by your grandmother. Like, what movie was that we went to? And the theater was gorgeous. It was a beautiful theater.
Tom Hanks was great.
Oh man. Wait, Tom Hanks wasn't in that movie? I thought we were talking about, Cloud Atlas.
I love that movie. So
of course you do. Of course you love Cloud
Alex
Atlas.
Back then was much more information. It was all lies.
Yeah.
But it was that. It's that, like, it's not a show, man. It's not great.
No.
It's fun to listen to, though, because what we're going to get to is fucking hilarious.
Okay.
The end of the May 2nd episode is maybe one of my favorite things I've ever heard.
You know,
on the show.
Since we started doing this podcast, I have had a few people like, oh man, I used to listen to Alex Jones like 5 years ago, and I've always been like, why the fuck would you do that? He's an insane man.
Yeah.
And now you're showing me 5 years ago, and I'm like, well, this is just kind of kooky and stupid.
Yeah, yeah. And there are moments where it is like, one of the things that I loved the most about Loveline back when I used to listen, beyond just like them being great hosts.
And the lines of love.
Sure. Was it felt like they were trapped. There was a certain amount of like, it's late night radio, they're stuck in this studio, and they gotta fill time.
Right.
So Adam would come up with little games and stuff like that and ways to amuse himself. And there's a feeling of that a little bit with Alex Jones in 2012 of like, he's trapped in this studio.
Right.
Whereas now, like, and if you look at the pictures of what his studio looked like back then, it looked like shit. Like, not like shit, but compared to now, it's not a $1 million studio.
Mm-hmm.
So like, there is a feeling of like, I gotta fill this time. What the fuck am I gonna do? Let me ask about this Boy Scout thing. So it there's a charm to it that I like about radio, about amateur independent radio, but
bit of a ramshackle quality to it.
Yeah. So
like the boom mic is popping down into the shot.
Right. Right. Yeah. Totally. So Alex is lying about this story entirely. What a shock. Three stories in a row about money he's completely lying about to make his point that it's illegal to use money. So this is from a world
which everyone knows is dumb.
Mm-hmm.
Even his listeners back then are like, Alex, it's not illegal to use money. It's not great to use stupid money because people are going to get confused.
Yeah. So even in the WorldNet Daily article about this, which is what he's citing, it says, according to the Sun report, the police arrest report noted one employee noticed some smearing of ink on the bills. That's when cops were called. One officer reportedly noticed the bills ran in sequential order, which is suspicious, generally, because people, when you rob a bank.
Yeah.
And the smearing ink on the bill also could come from, like, a gel pack or something like that. There's a lot of reasons why that would arouse suspicion. Secret Service agent.
None of them being that it had a 2 on it.
They called in a Secret Service agent at the police station.
Right.
Because of this.
Department of the Treasury.
So the Secret Service agent, Leah Turner, eventually arrived and declared the bills legitimate, adding, according to the police report, sometimes ink can smear on money, which is not widely known information. That's not something that people know. So, also, Alex is lying about the fact that he was teaching Boy Scouts about the Constitution. That's not what he was doing.
That doesn't sound right at all.
He gave tours, and so he was there at this Best Buy, and he was getting a stereo installed in his son's car, not buying film.
He seems like a nice guy.
I don't have anything against him.
Yeah, I think this guy was the victim of weird injustice.
Totally.
Yeah, I agree.
And he got handcuffed to a pole at the police station waiting for this to get resolved. Again, it was only a matter of hours.
Yeah.
But at the same time, if he wants to sue the city or whatever, the police department, fine.
All on board.
I don't know if he would win, but
would
I'm fine
not
with
have
it.
A chance.
I'm fine with that. I don't think, like, they did not act out of line and be like, you can't use $2 bills.
No.
But there was a miscarriage of perceptions, I guess. I don't know. So anyway, After Best Buy personnel repeatedly told Balesta, which, by the way, his name is Mike Balesta, which is an anagram for Bike Molesta. So they told him that he would not be charged for the installation of the stereo in his son's car. He received a call from the store saying it was, in fact, charging him the fee. As a means of protest, but Balesta decided to pay the $114 bill using 57 crisp new $2 bills.
Of course.
As the owner of Capital City Student Tours, the Baltimore resident has a hearty supply of the uncommon currency. He often gives the bills to students who take his tours for meal money. Quote, the kids don't see that many $2 bills, so they think this is the greatest thing in the world, Balesta says. They don't want to spend them. They want to save them. I've been doing this since I started the company, so I'm thinking, I'll stage my little comic protest. I'll pay the $114 with $2 bills. So, you know.
All right, that was kind of, I mean, that's not a good bit, but I get it.
But it's in the vein of someone who's like, I'm going to pay all in nickels.
Of course. Yeah. No. I get it. I think it's less effective because it's just 57 $2 bills as opposed to, you know, like 520s. But whatever. Mm-hmm. Have your fun. Mm-hmm. Have your fun.
And it's a little less effective because he didn't realize that they were leaking ink. They were, so that's that. I mean, it's just like three instances right in a row of Alex misleading, telling bullshit stories to try and enforce this narrative that, like, fiat currency, they're trying to make it so you can't have real money. They want to take everything digital.
Right. Because
he talks about the globalists wanting a cashless society.
Right.
And so he uses...
Well, India did just go cashless.
Interesting.
Which was a fucking bananas way they did it, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. One day, the prime minister was like, cash is nowhere legal. Like,
interesting.
You can't use cash anymore. Mm-hmm. Now, that is a great idea to go paperless. But roughly 85% of people in India
can't.
Do not have credit cards or anything like that.
And the same is true, maybe not that high of a number, but of our population. It just wouldn't work. It would be absurdly impossible to implement.
Yeah, all the drug dealers I know would really fuck up their business.
Yeah, they don't take Bitcoin, baby.
Yeah, I know. So, although maybe that's what they should start doing.
Probably. It's untraceable.
Absolutely.
So Alex, like, he's just trying to bolster this narrative of globalists wanting to get rid of cash so they can control what you purchase and track everything by telling three bullshit stories. It's crazy. It's so easy. It's so easy to see through.
Like, I mean,
it's comically easy.
The Simpsons do only make one House of Horrors episode per year, so it might not be that easy to come up with three separate stories.
It's possible.
Yeah.
So
all of them connected by a theme? That's solid work.
It's true. So at this point, we've already seen a bit of difference about Alex back in 2012.
Yeah.
We've seen he's not as good of a performer.
No.
He's a little bit, like I said, he gives too many details because I can track down all these stories. If he had just been super vague about it, it would be much more difficult for me to find these and be like, nope, you're wrong.
Yeah.
And so he hasn't learned that trick yet. But here in this next clip.
And he hasn't even made me mad this entire time.
Well,
in fact, I'm kind of like, you know what? We disagree on things, but I think you're fine.
Right. There is a little bit of that.
Yeah.
But in this next clip, we're going to get to find... We're going to get to see a similarity between 2015 and 2017, Alex.
There's this story I saw yesterday and didn't cover, and I meant to get one of my writers to write on it more, but WorldNet Daily, of course, picked it up. It's the Pilot newspaper out of Norfolk, Virginia. And they don't even say to the second page that it was black on white crime. Mm. A beating at church in Brambleton.
Uh-oh.
And the story is, for 2 weeks, the paper refused to report on whites in their cars being attacked by hundreds of young black people. And this is happening all over the country.
Hundreds
it's epidemic.
Of young black people.
And the police, when they complained and went for help, were told, shut up and get back in your car. We're not going to help you. What do you want us to do?
Sounds like the
and
police
the paper
I know.
Agonized over even reporting on this happening. Now, again, my issue is this is very dangerous. The globalists want to foster this so it boils up and gets really big. The Justice Department tried to cause race wars, as you know. NBC edited the tape of Trayvon Martin, regardless of whatever you think, if he was right or wrong, towards Zimmerman. The point is, the Justice Department had fomenters in there. The media tried to push this to get us fighting with each other.
No boy.
And now the media feels like they can report on it because the youths are bragging on Facebook about it.
The youths are bragging.
And some are saying, you know, it's not very nice to beat up white people. You know, some black folks, and they're saying, oh, yeah, well, they deserve it because of Trayvon. And so what's going to happen is the average yuppie that's self-loathing and everything is now going to start not being racist, but fearing all black people. And this will not be good for black folks socioeconomically. It won't be good for anybody. But that's what the globalists want. They want to keep you on their poverty pimp reservations, and they want, through the culture, the hip-hop, all of it, to sell that it's cool to talk bad about white people. And young punk white kids may get intimidated by that and go grovel at the feet of it. But most people go, well, I don't hate somebody because of the color of their skin, but wow, I better look out.
So, he's in his white victimhood shit back then even. It's crazy. Yeah. Universal for
him. That's my favorite bullshit there is it's always like, oh, no. Black people, if you were nicer to white people, we would like you more. And it's like, dude.
You're just going to make white people scared.
Yeah. Good. White people should be far more afraid.
Now, here's the unfortunate piece of this. He's not lying.
Okay.
That is a real story.
Cool.
And I looked into it, and while a lot of the context is off, it is real. There was a couple that was driving at Church and Brambleton, which is an intersection, some place in Virginia. And there were a bunch of kids in the street. Hundreds seems like an exaggeration, but there were dozens of kids.
Okay.
Youths. And they beat up the dude in the car because he got out of the car. And they were mad, wandering around in the aftermath of the Trayvon Martin murder.
Yeah.
And they were blocking traffic. He got out of the car, and they were attacking him. And the police ended up coming. Now, the part about shut up and get back in your car is a misrepresentation. The police were interviewed about that, and they talked about how they had got reports of gunshots on another part of town that evening. And so when they were telling them to get in the car,
they were like, get in the car because...
Yes.
Gotcha.
It was a protective thing.
Right.
And they, I believe the quote was, we made the decision to get them off the streets as immediately as possible.
Right.
So that was what was going on there. The article itself cites one Twitter comment where someone said, do it for Trayvon or something like that, which
Why
is not good reporting.
Why do we just have one Twitter comment as news?
It's not good reporting.
Ugh.
But the other stuff that surrounds it, the stuff about the paper refusing to cover it because it's black-on-white crime is not true. All that stuff is just that part isn't true. But unfortunately,
I feel like nobody did anything wrong in that story.
No, I mean, you still don't want people beating up innocent people. You know what I mean? Like, it's understandable. I would say it's understandable. I don't think it's right, but I get it.
Yeah.
I get it. I still think there's an innocent victim in it.
Is there?
Yeah. Yeah.
Who?
The dude who got out of his car and got beat up.
And nobody's innocent.
Jesus. You don't know anything about this guy. And to be fair, I don't either.
Yeah.
So anyway,
I bet he was a dick.
There's a lot of assumptions you have to make, but be this
white dude in Norfolk, Virginia.
But look, the more important piece is this is Alex Dunes.
Sees a bunch of black kids, all of them very frustrated and angry about Trayvon. He thinks, fuck it, you know what? We can't be having this. Gets out of his car, starts mouthing off, then he gets his ass beat.
But that might not have been what he did when he got out of the car. We don't know that.
Entirely possible, but come on. That narrative tracks.
For you, but you're just doing what Alex does.
I know.
Okay.
I'm having fun.
All right, as long as you're aware of that.
Why can't I have fun?
Because that's the opposite of what we do.
I know.
Not the having fun part, but
sure.
but the just sort of like guessing what a story really
is. I know.
It's
Dan,
bullshit,
I'm just having fun
bullshit.
With you.
I'm furious.
I know.
I'm going to throw a rock at you.
This is a good juxtaposition, switch around. This is a body swap comedy.
It is?
Yeah, you're going to be very angry this entire time, and I'm just going to be chill,
I'm chill?
Having a grand old time.
You think I'm chill on all our episodes?
I'm not saying that you're chill, but by comparison.
I don't know why I'm getting offended that you think I'm chill.
Because you're very angry right now.
Very not chill. So anyway, but the point that I want to make is that this idea that he has, or that he's espousing, about this being a race war narrative, and this story reinforces that, is the exact same thing he's doing with those currency stories.
Of course.
So the game he plays is very clear, and it repeats despite whatever the context is.
Right. And you could make a good case for him just having got lucky that the headline actually did match up with the rest of the story.
Sure.
Or at least matched up with some of the story.
And it's not an incredibly sensational story. And actually, I got to be honest, I know 100% that Alex did read that article.
Okay.
Because when he's talking about the person on Facebook, he's referring to something that was in the article. Mm-hmm. That one post. I think I said Twitter. It might have been Facebook.
Well, no wonder he was so boring back then. He actually paid attention.
Right. He's like me.
Yeah. I got to get to the bottom of this. I'm not going to call that fucking Navy SEAL. I got to get to the bottom of this thing.
So I told you earlier, Alex wants to take calls from Afghan veterans who will agree with him that bin Laden died way back in the past and it's all bullshit.
And he's crushing it so far,
but
taking 400 calls.
Unfortunately, he gets this call pretty early and it destroys the entire rest of his show.
No.
Tom in Georgia, you're on the air.
Hey, Alex, I'm calling from FEMA Region 4. Two quick points that I'd like you to look into, piggybacking on one of the stories you did a couple weeks ago. I have a cousin who's married to a soldier stationed out at Stewart, Brigade Homeland, who told her that the guys that blew up that fella's house in Roswell, they were wearing Fulton County Marshal's uniforms, which is why your Roswell police, all those guys were off duty that day, but that they were actually soldiers from Stewart that did it. You look into that. Number two, the former Viper squads that have been hanging out on Interstate 40 as you go into Memphis in the little cutoff there where it goes down from 70 to 55 have moved eastward, and now on all of their vehicles it says District 23 Police. So I stopped and asked a guy at the rest area, hey, where's the 23rd District in Tennessee? And he said, man, I don't know what that is. There's no such thing.
That's bullshit. Just do a Google search. You'll find the 23rd District. it includes the city of Fairview, Franklin, Brentwood, Nolensville, Thompson Station, Spring Hill. It's just south of Nashville. It is substantially east of Memphis, however. And the intersection of 40 and 55 that he's talking about is not near there. But the
somebody should send him an email about that.
The 23rd Congressional District is a very real place in Tennessee. Memphis is straddled by the 8th and 9th districts. So anyway, that's all bullshit. But the Chicken Man.
The Chicken Man.
The Chicken Man. Is what destroys the rest of Alex Jones's show. What happened?
Nothing.
You all right?
Yeah.
What did you do?
Yeah. Ah! Cigarette. Cigarette
did
ash.
Did you just burn my chair?
No. That's okay. What I didn't do.
Okay. I apologize. So, the Chicken Man. What do you know about the Chicken Man?
I don't know anything about the Chicken Man.
I know everything about the Chicken Man. So, the Chicken Man was a gentleman by the name of Andrew Words, who...
Or Jim Semivan.
Could be Jim Semivan.
Jim Semivan the Chicken Man.
This could have been how Jim Semivan faked his death.
Now, that would be a great traveling show.
Jim Semivan the Chicken Van?
I would totally go see him do a headlining spot.
I would, too. Andrew Words, the Chicken Man, was a guy who lived in Roswell, Georgia. And
right.
He had a couple of chickens. And then he...
All right, so one part of his story checks out.
Then he got a bunch more chickens and
right.
a rooster. And some pigs. And his neighbors started to get really mad.
Because it was just a house.
Yeah. So they...
That's a problem.
They started to get furious because these animals were super loud. And,
dropping property values for sure.
And so he got in trouble and there was an order that a judge gave that told him that he had to restrict the number of animals he had at his house because, you know...
Because fucking duh.
We live in a society.
Yeah.
And so he refused to comply with that order.
He's the Chicken Man.
So he ended up going to jail because he wouldn't
right.
get rid of his chickens.
Contempt of court.
So he fell behind on his mortgage payments while he was in jail. And unfortunately, that led to his house being put under eviction.
So he's in debtor's prison now.
Pretty much. No, he's dead now.
Oh, he's dead now?
Oh, he's dead.
Oh, no. What did the Chicken Man do?
So...
Eaten by his chickens, that ironic bastard.
So March 26th, Fulton County Marshals came to his house to evict him. And I'm reading here from a Huffington Post article on the matter. But a standoff ensued around 12:45 p.m. Words.
I take it this is where we find out what happened to the Chicken Man.
We do. So the issue, too, was that he was supposed to be in court that day, as I understand. Yeah, so there's a guy named Mike Pechenik, not related to Steve.
I got it.
He's a reporter for Channel 2 in Atlanta, And he went to Wirtz's home on Alpine Drive, where Fulton County marshals were gathered outside for the eviction. Wirtz told Pachenik he was scheduled for a court appearance that morning on a traffic citation, but feared that marshals would repossess his home while he's gone, so he didn't go. So he's in the house, and, I mean, I guess that's a play. So the standoff ensued around 12:45 p.m. Wirtz called the cell phone of local TV reporter Mike Pachenik, who was outside the home, and told him to warn marshals to leave the property. He told Pachenik, I can't tell you what's going to happen, but it ain't going to be pretty. Moments later, the home exploded and started a fire.
Oh, boy.
CBS Atlanta reported that fire officials found a deceased individual inside but could not confirm that it was Wirtz. It was. Investigators found gasoline and a potential detonation device inside, but the cause of the explosion remains under investigation. This was reported the day of. So the other quote that he had that he said to Mike Pachenik on the phone right before the explosion was, I appreciate everything, brother. I appreciate everything you've done. And then so he blew up his house.
Yeah. I feel like that dude was probably fine, except for all the fucking chickens and pigs.
Yeah.
If they had just taken him away.
Mm-hmm.
Although he probably would have blown up all the pigs.
According to the stuff that he had posted on a bunch of like weird meetup groups and
all
like,
right,
social media stuff.
I'm not liking him anymore.
He really loved these chickens. Like to the point where he was willing to die for the chickens.
I mean, there's something grossly romantic about that.
That's why he's called the Chicken Man.
I got it.
So yeah, the story that Alex is telling is like, I mean, I guess these federal marshals, or they're not even federal marshals.
What are the soldiers from Stewart? What was that guy talking about?
Stewart is a army base nearby.
Oh, okay. Not its own soldier group or like. Well, we call ourselves the soldiers from Stewart.
No.
Of course.
So that we'll get into,
because Knights Who Say Knee was already taken.
We'll get into that a little bit more down the line.
Okay.
But the basic premise is that there are soldiers impersonating deputies.
Sounds right.
And they blew up his house for an unknown reason.
Madeline Albright was running the show.
Probably.
Yeah.
Alex has suggested that they wanted to build a biodome there, which doesn't make sense because he has neighbors, and there is no biodome now.
Where else would you keep the fucking chickens, though?
Right. So, but that doesn't make sense. It does, like, eminent domain doesn't come into play. The only complaint that anyone had was, like, you are bothering your neighbors with your roosters.
Yeah.
Roosters do one thing, and that's wake people up.
They make a shit ton of noise.
Yeah.
That's kind of their gig.
So you can't have them in the city. It makes sense. It's very discourteous to your neighbors.
I don't like the fact that he lost his house. Like,
right.
That sucks. Like, while he was in jail, he couldn't make his mortgage.
Totally.
I think that's an injustice as well.
I feel a tremendous amount of empathy.
Yeah, we should have just...
In the same way,
we should have just built a biodome over his house.
Couldn't hurt.
That would have made everything
soundproof
better.
Soundproof the home.
Absolutely. Maybe they were just trying to film the movie Biodome, and he misheard them.
No, this is too late. This is 2005.
Okay. All right.
Or whatever. 2003. So in this next clip, we see that Alex Jones totally believes this caller who has brought up the soldiers from Stewart narrative of blowing up the Chicken Man's house.
All right. I'm going to go to Dr. Pachenik. I apologize for having to hold.
Spoiler alert, the reason Steve Pachenik hangs up is that Alex does 10, 15 minutes on the Chicken Man, and Alex comes back from break after Steve Pachenik is gone, and he's like, yeah, Steve was just like, I called in to talk about Bin Laden. What's this chicken stuff? And so Steve Pachenik is just like, I gotta go.
I'm not talking about the Chicken Man, goddammit. I'm Dr. Steve Pachenik, PSYOP assassin, or whatever the fuck I'm supposed to be.
I overthrow governments.
Yeah, I'm not going to be
shit about the Chicken Man.
I don't know. That sounds fun.
So there's a moment.
Pachenik, take a break. Talk about the Chicken Man from time to time.
He did take a break. He took the day off. So anyway.
But this is breaking news. So we'll hold a little bit in the next hour to catch up on time to take military calls as well. But, sir, repeat everything you just said on air, because some stations don't carry that first 5 minutes. Who this person is, the fort, where Brigade Homeland is based, everything you said like tumblers just clicked as that I believe you. But we've got to ferret this now. This is chilling. The police act like they are scared to death there in that town. So does the sheriff. Go.
So then the guy just repeats exactly what he said in the first thing.
Of course.
And it's a relative of his has a spouse that works at Stewart. So this is third-hand information that's coming to him. Fourth-hand, if you consider Alex as one of the hands.
Yes.
It's hearsay. It's nonsense. And let's listen to this next clip so we can get, like, Alex being a little bit petty, pretending he already knew everything that the caller said.
Of course.
And then we can get a clearer sense of what the allegation actually is.
But what they're training the guys at Stewart to do in their day-to-day training is wear police uniforms of these different parts of the country.
I argue that doesn't take training. Put on a shirt. That's what they're doing.
Do they even need to do that? They could just give them a badge and call them plain clothes.
Right. We have to train you to wear a different uniform. It's very dumb.
Like they have to actually impersonate people. They're like,
right.
Okay, we're going to send you to Tennessee. Go with your Tennessee accent.
Hey now, what's going on?
Oh, you're terrible. We're going to have to send you to Maine. Go with your Maine accent.
Well, but you could just use any voice and say, I moved here from Missouri. Or,
no,
I moved
you
can't. Here. Yeah, you could.
No, you have to blend in with the locals.
Also, let me tell you this. One of the hallmarks of the police is they don't like to answer questions. So you don't really have
you
to.
You could really just not say anything
at
all.
You don't have to do an improv scene with a citizen.
I think you should.
No.
I think that's look, Second City Traveling Group actually there to teach soldiers from Stewart.
I think it was Second City that killed the chicken man.
Like Fulton County Marshals, they're training in these local uniforms, and the soldiers are like, why are we doing this? You know, you have a lot of dissent within the ranks out there at Stewart. If you can get guys out there to interview them, you'll have, and I'm not just talking.
Sir, I'm already aware of it. I was already, when you mentioned this, this district, you know, 23 group and all that.
Which is a
Tennessee's
real district.
The major testing ground, but now it's expanding. They have TSA in it's fake local made up outfits now. I mean, this is directly out of the worst communist dictatorships. I mean, this is so hellish. This is where the secret police aren't just wearing masks. They're putting on different uniforms. I mean,
this is so evil.
It's evil.
The secret police could not advertise themselves more like police.
This narrative is soft,
yeah.
I would say.
Yeah.
I don't, there's not much to it. Cause the motive is not strong.
is there a motive?
Killing the chicken man has to be its own motive.
What else does the chicken man know?
Well, Alex.
What else do his chickens know?
That's the real question.
That's the issue.
Yeah, those chickens went into a FEMA camp.
Yeah, why did he fucking keep buying them chickens?
Right, because they have secrets.
Mm-hmm.
Only God knows what goes on in the heart of a chicken.
Follow the money.
Follow the chicken. So Alex probably would say that this is like trying to get people used to the idea of police killing you. And I'm like, done. It's
yeah,
done.
We're way past that, dude.
Yeah, we don't need to do it. And then he's bringing in this idea that
maybe you should listen to fucking hip-hop,
right.
And you'd know why people are angry about it.
The other thing is he's trying to bring in this idea that these soldiers, the military, is impersonating police because that would breach posse comitatus.
Sure.
Which is
nothing better than an obscure law that has a Latin name already.
But
I'm
it is real. I mean, it is the law that, or the act, I guess, that says that except by act of Congress, the military is not allowed to operate in police acts.
Of course. That's that's the cross the Rubicon rule.
But also, it's not because there is the stipulation except by an act of Congress. We're going to get to that later.
Right.
But anyway, Alex he tries to spin this narrative that, like, the Fulton Marshals, they don't know what happened, and the sheriff says that they weren't working that day or something like that. He says it's in the paper. It's in mainstream news. I can find nothing of this. I can't find any of that information.
Right.
He doesn't provide any backup to any of it, so I have to assume that it's not true. And just a caller told him or
right.
something like that.
Because, of course.
Yeah. So after this, Alex gets a caller with real information about the chicken man
this
situation.
Can't go well.
Well, let's see how it goes.
Okay, Will, you're a police officer. What's your news?
Hey, Alex, good afternoon.
Are you enjoying the ranting?
Yeah, I always enjoy a good rant, especially on InfoWars. I'm originally from Metro Atlanta in Georgia, and I worked in law enforcement. It's where I cut my teeth, and law enforcement was actually in the Roswell area in Fulton County. And one of the things I want to point out is Fulton County and Metro Atlanta is unique that they have a sheriff's office and a marshal's office.
Okay, that's what it is.
Yeah, it's actually two different divisions of law enforcement. The sheriff is an elected constitutional official, and the marshal is an appointed position from the Board of Commissioners. And the marshal's position and his deputy marshals, mainly what they're there for is the movement of inmates from pretrial detention centers to going forward for trial and this sort of thing. If you can imagine, when they leave jail and go to the courthouse, the marshals are kind of the ones who kind of sit and babysit the inmates.
Conceivably, you might need those people if you're going to take this guy in who seems resistant to...
Yeah.
It's a little bit of a stretch.
A crazy guy with a shit ton of chickens and pigs.
It's a little bit of a stretch, but it doesn't seem that strange.
No, I think I buy this.
Okay.
I'm good.
As they're awaiting their arraignments or court hearings and this sort of thing. It's highly unusual to me that the marshals would be the one doing the civil process on the chicken man. And Roswell, you...
Well, my issue is we've called all these groups, and the papers say everyone denies they did it.
They didn't.
And then now this fella called in who sounded credible, and everything he said tumbled into place, because I know this goes on, and said no, Brigade Homeland raided the house.
Throw a little more info towards you, Alex. When your reporters went to what you're calling, it looks like a Capitol building, Roswell City Hall, you encountered some officers that were not Roswell police officers proper. What they actually are municipal complex police officers. They work for City Hall. They do not work for the police department. If you can imagine, they're kind of trumped up bailiffs.
So when Alex Jones sent his crack team of reporters down there to City Hall, they talked to bailiffs, basically, who look like cops.
Right.
And they said, we weren't involved. And that spiraled out of control into, like, the police say they weren't involved. That's my guess based on everything I know about Alex Jones and his quote-unquote due diligence that
right,
he does.
Right, right, right.
So,
but you won't go along with me and my my story about the white dude getting beat up. I get it. You're allowed to speculate. I'm not.
I think I'm coming from informed position.
I think I am,
and
too.
And you were trying to start a race war.
I was not trying to start a race war.
Jordan
a
Holmes, race, war, race pimp.
A race war has already been going on. That we've just been winning it too well.
So, before we get too deep into that, because
by which I mean white people, not you and me, Dan.
Right. I don't want to get into that, because we have something really important to do.
Okay.
So we have two more clips from the May 2nd episode.
Yeah.
Then we're going to get into May 3rd, and I'm going to put on my policy wonk hat.
Okay.
Because I'm going to talk deep.
Now we're going to dig into
it. I'm talking deep about policy
and
how stupid Alex is.
All right.
But first.
Will you give the listeners a warning so they can just pause it?
Turn
there,
it off. Then, yeah. But before we do that, the end of the show on May 2nd is exactly what I was talking about of Alex seeming trapped in the studio.
Mm-hmm.
He knows that the Bilderberg Conference is coming up. It is in Virginia. And so what he does to fill the last, I'd say, half hour of his show is try and book reservations at the Marriott.
Wait.
It's great. It's so good.
He does that. He does his own travel agenting on air.
Yeah, and actually, I don't have a clip of it, but John Bound, the guy who only appears in those terrible voiceovered reports,
he's
actually in studio. You don't see his face, but you hear him over the mic just talking to Alex, and it's very creepy.
That is weird.
It's very weird that he's
does
like,
he still
oh,
sound
shit.
The same as he does
he's
in the voiceover?
He kind of sounds like a stoner, to be honest.
Okay.
He kind of sounds like he's high. I'm not entirely sure, and I don't want to put that on him, but he does sound terrible.
Okay.
So anyway, here's where it begins, Alex trying to get reservations at the Marriott.
This can't be real.
Because the Bilderberg Group, we're 95—Jim Tucker says 99% sure, and I believe him— but we're really finding out early this year how fortuitous that it's coming up May 29th through June 3rd.
His dates are slightly off, but his location is correct.
Thanks.
That means he'll shut the hotel down the 29th. It'll really start the next day. And I'm going to be there. It's in the U.S. I'm going. But we're trying to ferret out info and get them to admit it. That would be nice. And so we're just going to do this on air right now. Call the front desk, please.
So I want to say
this is killer.
This is kind of long. So please tell me if you want to pause at any point. Like,
so are you telling me that what we're about to listen to is Alex Jones both try and set up a reservation, while at the same time pumping these people for information about the Bilderberg Group?
Yes.
All right.
It's bad spy work.
This is. I'm stoked.
This is one of my favorite long form clips.
This is great. Fake laugh.
Here we go. Last time I kind of acted goofy. We'll see what happens here. I do this stuff too much.
Thank you for calling the Westfield Ferry. How can I help you?
Also, this is probably illegal because he didn't tell people that he was recording.
Hi, I was inquiring about the event coming up with the Council of Americas, the 29th of this month to the 3rd of June, and I'd like to find out exactly when I should arrive for that, what time that starts.
We don't get information about the group hotel until about 2 or 3 days prior to their arrival.
I'm sorry, ma'am. I can barely hear you. What did you say?
We do not have the information of who is coming in that far out.
Okay, well, can I book a room, actually 2 rooms with king-size beds, please, from the, let me see, that'd be May 31st to June 3rd. Can I book that right now, please?
Oh, certainly. Let me give you a reservation.
Oh, okay, thank you, Alex.
You are definitely going to get the reservation.
Here we go, and then we'll get back to them.
To ensure high-quality service, your conversation may be recorded. Please see our privacy statement at Marriott.com to understand how
we surveil everything. Enjoy
what
the foreign
are you
water.
Talking about?
Let your mind
we
drift away.
On the line, and the next available representative will be with you shortly.
I want to point out they're going to let me book that day.
Revived, refreshed, and re-energized. Whether you're traveling on business or leisure, we will make sure you're ready to go.
And hang out with David Rockefeller?
Dead air.
Busy day over at the Marriott.
Busy day over at InfoWars, dude. Fuck you.
She just sent me to reservations, which is a big centralized system problem.
This is also, I'd like to say, what he's doing instead of talking to Afghan veterans or anybody about what happened with bin Laden. He could be trying to prove his point. Instead, he's doing this.
He knows he's making everything up. Why not call Marriott?
Right.
Probably somewhere else. Probably right at NSA headquarters that's down the street.
Fake laugh.
Oh, boy. Tell you what, call the pub. Call the pub. Disconnect this. We'll call back. We need to do this behind the scenes as legwork to totally confirm this, but
I'll
kill two birds with one stone. We'll just start doing everything here on the air, including real reservations.
You should.
Got to fill time.
Fake laugh.
My son is begging to go. He is 9 years old. I think I should take him to Bilderberg.
Were you
going to
give him a king-size bed?
Also, I think that might be what led to his divorce, because this is pre-divorce. You took our son to Bilderberg.
He's a globalist now.
Oh, fun story. I looked up the attendees of the Bilderberg conference, and someone who's there every year, Peter Thiel.
Man, that fucking guy.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Let's call Marriott and see if he's there.
I'm sorry, sir. You sound a little bit muffled. I don't know if it's my phone system that's on a string and yarn, but or tin cans. What did you say?
This is Wellington. Pub, Abdul is speaking. What can I help you?
Oh, yes, sir. Are you there in the pub right now?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Good. Hey, listen, I'd like
you
to know
us.
If I could reserve a couple tables for a birthday party for my friend coming up, say, the evening of June 1st.
Smooth.
Okay, you need to talk to our manager. I'm sorry, he can take your reservation. Can you hold a second?
Yes, sir. But, I mean, I can still be in there, right, even though there's that special conference coming up?
Okay. I can't tell you because I don't have access to the computer, and they can check the computer, everything. He can tell you all details, everything.
Great. So, but, I mean, you are there in Chantilly yourself, right?
Yeah.
All right, good. Sure. Is
Trust
there, like,
me,
an event planner
off.
I
wow.
can talk to?
Hold on 1 second.
This okay. pays off big. Trust me.
Leslie, how may I help you?
Hey, I'd like to see about booking like a special party or something in one of your restaurants.
I cannot believe this.
On June 1st, a birthday party for my friend.
Sure. May I ask who's calling?
Sure. This is Alex Jones, and I'd like to have a birthday party for David Rockefeller, who's staying there that evening.
Okay. And how many people were you estimating for the event?
Well, I mean, it depends on how big an area I could get. I mean, I know, I guess the Council of Americas meeting is going to be there, and that's a couple hundred people. I was thinking I'd bring 10 or 15.
So about 10 or 15, and you're looking to do something in the restaurant? Have you been to our property before?
Yes, I have. Yes, okay. I was there 4 years ago in your lovely little English-style pub.
Yeah.
And then there's also the bigger dining room area.
Perfect. Okay. Can I take down your information and have a restaurant manager contact you?
This is on air.
Sure,
right?
Sure. Yeah. The hotel is open. I mean, it's not a closed conference then, because I thought I was coming to a closed conference.
I will be more than happy to look into that for you. Usually the pub is still open. What was the name of the conference again, so I can take that down?
It's going to be Council of the Americas. I'm sure you've heard about the Bilderberg meeting that's coming to town.
Oh, you know what? I am actually new, so I apologize. I have not.
You have not heard of that?
I have not. I've only been here about a week.
Have you heard of David Rockefeller?
No, I haven't.
Have you heard of Henry Kissinger?
No.
Have you heard of Count Dracula?
Yes.
Same person.
Oh, okay. what is the best contact number for you?
The best contact number for me is 512.
Smart bleeping this out.
Oh, they did bleep
like
it out?
Larry Nichols.
God damn it.
Yeah, sorry.
Yes.
Slightly more clever. I had my phone up ready to go.
You did. He also bleeps out his email address here.
And that's R-I-D-E-R-F?
Shows
absolutely.
He does have an email address.
Yeah. And, also that he knows how to use it.
Mm-hmm.
Can you transfer me back to reservations?
Sure.
But I mean, can I do reservations there at that hotel so they know what the rooms are like and stuff? Or does that have to be through the central system?
It usually goes through the central system.
Doesn't everything these days?
It unfortunately does. I do apologize. I will absolutely have somebody from the restaurant follow up with you
totally.
In regards
Ben? I hope, this is great customer service.
I hope she's still there because she is awesome.
Thank you. Mr. Rockefeller will enjoy it. Thank you.
Thanks.
Lord Mr. Rockefeller.
You got to watch the nice ones. Give me an example of some of the numbers you've got in there. Who can we call?
So then, you know.
That is exactly what a paranoid schizophrenic would say.
You got to watch the nice ones.
You got to watch out for the nice ones.
Right. Someone giving you great service. So they dick around a little bit, and then this is when John Bound comes in and is like, I just called, and they said I couldn't have a room. I just called.
Yeah, sure, sure.
So there's a bit I cut out, and then we have the final 4 minutes of the show. As this clip ends, it is the end of the show.
So this is a hard end?
Yes.
Okay.
Alex tries to prank call the Marriott.
Jesus! What is happening?
He calls back the exact number he called earlier and puts on a voice.
Oh, no.
Now, here's what I told you, this pays off.
Okay.
I promise you, at the end of this clip, Alex learns an important lesson about not being a dick to people. It's this is great. I love the arc of it. And I apologize that it's another 4 minutes of Alex on the phone.
Go ahead and dial the Bilderberg. Let me put on my Thurston Howell meets Ted Knight voice. Lovey-dovey.
Not doing good.
Marriott, how may I help you?
Yes, ma'am. I'd like to book a room, please.
One moment, sir.
To ensure high-quality service, your conversation...
John, you said this went right through. We can do it quickly this time.
...statement at Marriott.com to understand how we use and protect information. All representatives are assisting other guests.
That was what? That was a fake snicker?
Insane fake laugh.
Yeah.
So the lesson that Alex is going to learn is how hotel booking works.
I think he's already getting a bit of a crash course in it.
He gets... Like, everyone at the Marriott is awesome, because he gets another amazing customer service person who is going above and beyond with a dick on the line.
Yeah.
And
a guy who's clearly doing a fake accent.
Listen to this. This person deserves a fucking raise. Big time.
We invite you to remain on the line.
Oh, yes.
The next available representative will be...
This is
going to
be a giant NSA command base from Bilderberg's
there.
To
be revived, refreshed,
and they're still
going to
have a customer
like an NSA reunion or something.
Or
equipment piled on tables everywhere. Guys with headphones going, they thought I was out of the hotel. I was still sneaking around in there. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Truth is so much crazier than fiction.
Nope.
Come on.
I mean, sometimes. Not this time.
Hello?
No. This is just making a reservation.
Marriott Reservations. Brenda speaking. hear me? I help you.
Hey, I would like to check in to the Westfields Marriott on the 29th of this month and stay through the 3rd. And I'd like a, I guess it's only 2-3 stories. I'd like a high floor and king-size beds in both rooms.
Oh, so you need 2 rooms?
Yes, ma'am.
Now, is there a conference or anything you're coming in for?
No, I just want to play golf nearby.
Okay, and I'm showing that the hotel is totally sold out.
What? The hotel is completely filled?
The hotel is completely filled.
Oh, you? Is it the Bilderberg Group?
I'm sorry?
Is it the Bilderberg Group coming?
I don't know.
How can it be completely booked? I'm supposed to tee off with Lord Rockefeller.
Well, you know what? You're going to have to get a little bit more pull with Mr. Rockefeller then. Nice.
Well, we'll be saying hi to him. Don't worry.
Okay, because what I have, the closest Marriott I have, is the Fairfax at Fair Oaks.
So at this point, and throughout, this customer service rep doesn't realize Alex is fucking with her and is trying to help him. She is now being like, well, there's another Marriott 6 miles away. I can get you a room there.
It's not that far. You can still go to the conference.
She's going above and beyond in terms of trying to find a resolution for his problem.
Right. And I hope she gets a commission for this one.
Ugh.
Which is 6 miles east.
Hey, last time I was there during Bilderberg, the NSA had taken over all the major conference rooms they weren't using. Are they already shipping in the equipment right now?
I have absolutely no idea.
All right, let me ask you a really serious question. Do you believe that Osama bin Laden was really killed last year by Obama?
I have absolutely no idea, but they say so, so.
Well, they say so. They never lie, do they?
Well, you never know.
Well, ma'am, we really appreciate your... Hey, can I book the 28th? Can I check in the day before?
28th of May. No.
I can't? I can't even get in the day before?
So at this point, Alex is thinking, oh my God, the globalists booked it out even further in advance.
Of course.
Now let's see what happens.
Nope. Just double check and see.
Oh, they've even booked that now.
Okay, I can get, just hold on and let's see how many nights I can get you.
Oh my gosh. You can get me one night, right? Just the night before?
Let me just double check. I can get 2 nights. I can get 3 nights.
But I thought it's all sold out if I get in on the 28th.
Okay, so what I can do is I can get 3 nights coming in on the 28th. To the 31st.
When is it closed for the conference?
Are you coming in for a conference?
No, but you were saying that the hotel was sold out then.
Well, it is sold out for the 5 nights, but I can do the 28th, the 29th, and the 30th.
Oh, wait, I thought it was closed. I thought it was closed the 29th through the 3rd.
It is, but I'm able to... See, I put it in for the 5 nights, so all those nights were sold out. That I wasn't able to get all 5 nights in a row.
Oh, okay, great. Hold on one moment.
And that's the end of the show.
And that's the end of the show. Wow. Fucking wow.
Alex Jones doesn't understand that the reason he can't get the room in the first place is
because he booked 5 nights.
Exactly.
Sometimes they're booked out on one of those nights, and they're like, no, you can't get all 5 nights.
Yeah, hotel is complicated.
Boy.
The hotel work in terms of juggling rooms and stuff like that, you don't want to have people moving rooms.
Of course not.
So, yeah, he learns at the end of that that I can get 3 nights, but not 5. What an idiot.
I am struggling to come to terms with what the fuck has just happened.
The whole time he's being such a dick about it, like, oh, these globalists have bought out the hotel. It's like, no, you're just asking for something they can't give you.
What a nice woman.
It's amazing.
What a nice woman.
So spoiler alert.
At no point in time, look, after the do you believe Osama was killed line, she could have been like, nah. Click.
Yeah.
That would have been totally fine.
Although you do get in trouble if you hang up on customers.
Yeah, not if they say fuck or shit to you. Or if they ask you about Osama bin Laden,
and
that is post 9/11 world.
Osama bin Laden truth.
Yeah.
Click. So
that'd have been, God, now I wish she had just like jumped in with him and been like, no,
I don't
believe that. Let me tell you why. And then she bores him even more than he was boring us.
So that like, but that you see, he's really bad on his feet. And so like,
yeah,
he knows on some level, I'm supposed to be talking about Bin Laden. This prank call isn't going well.
No.
Let's ask her what she thinks.
Oh,
terrible.
So nope. That's no idea.
That's the end.
They say he died though, so whatever.
But then she's also like, you never know.
It could be.
Stop asking me weird questions,
right.
Guy. A guy who started with a regular voice and then went into a fake voice.
Yeah.
Weird.
And then kind of got back to the regular voice. And then she should have been like, do you think Kennedy's still alive?
Oh, totally.
He
went to
like,
Argentina to hang out with Hitler.
Oh, that's possible.
Right. So that's the end of the second.
Yes.
And we go on to the third. And you might expect some of this to carry over. Some of these things, the Chicken Man, the Marriott.
We could get days out of just the Chicken Man.
The Chicken Man does actually come back up, but there's nothing new about it. He does bring it back up briefly. The Marriott drama does not come back up.
No, of course not. They would prefer if that episode was not available.
Steve Pachenik and his not being around doesn't come back up.
4 stars.
Cash being illegal doesn't come back up.
It's not.
Osama bin Laden doesn't come back up, and you know why?
That's because he's dead.
But you know why? That's a good theory. There's another reason.
I routinely say this is some of the biggest news, but this, other than 9/11 being an inside job and what that means, that criminals run the government that work with Al-Qaeda.
Sounds right.
That's now out in the open, but we're told that war is over, move along, Homeland Security's for the American people, returning veterans.
Hmm.
This piece of news, confirmed, double-vetted by Paul Watson, because I wanted to believe this wasn't true, but it's on the official GovTrack sites.
So,
the Marriotts have been closed for a full week. I couldn't get that reservation.
Double-checked by Paul Joseph Watson.
Paul Joseph Watson, who is also our travel agent.
Right.
He booked us 2 flights, mm-hmm. and then he was like, no, we can't sit together. And I was like, Bilderberg!
Bilderberg. This is FEMA camp shit.
Okay.
The FM3-39.40 has come out this day in history. May 3rd, 2012.
Is this when we get all of our FEMA camp information?
This is where it all becomes very real to Alex.
Oh, no.
And we'll discuss that document here in a minute. But on the way there, Alex Jones brings up a bunch of building blocks for his argument that FEMA camps are coming.
Uh-huh.
And throughout this clip, I'm going to pause it after each one and debunk each one.
Jesus, Dad.
This is going to be me running the gauntlet.
I appreciate your thoroughness.
I'm so excited about this.
I know.
He's so stupid.
I know. I can see
it. It was first leaked. Now it's hidden in plain view. This is so big. Now, we already know this. We already knew this. I've been to the urban warfare drills. I'd already observed it. I didn't need the government and media to tell me what I already knew. And I had the John Warner Defense Authorization Act.
So, the John Warner...
No, that's called corroboration, Alex. You do need people to confirm the things.
So, the John Warner Defense Authorization Act is in 2007.
JWDA.
It was actually largely pushed through by Republican support in the Senate. I have a list here of all the actual votes. The only Republican to actually vote against it is Rand Paul. Which I guess Alex would be pretty thrilled with. I think he'd feel pretty awesome about, like, yeah, my guy voted against this thing. But Jeff Sessions voted for it, so that's interesting. If you go through, you just see, like, it's mostly Pence. Mike Pence voted for it. So a lot of the people who are now in Trump's circle are all people who are in favor of it. All of the nays were Democrats, with the exception of Rand Paul. You had people like Conyers. You had people like Dennis Kucinich.
Man, when was Kucinich around?
Yeah.
Those were the glory days.
Yeah, exactly. So it was in 2007. The reason that everyone was concerned about it, I'm not sure if everyone was concerned about it, but the reason that Alex takes exception with it is because inside this National Defense Authorization Bill, you know, it has a bunch of the I read all this shit. I'm very excited.
Do you want to just do a lightning round?
I can't, because some of it's kind of complicated, and that's okay. Where the wonk comes in.
All right.
So it's basically an appropriations bill for funding for the year to the fiscal year 2007. But it buried in it was an amendment to the Insurrection Act, which is, governing the rules of what is an insurrection, where can the federal government step in.
So it
basically would make it easier for the president to send in military troops in the case of a terrorist attack, an outbreak of some sort, or some situation that I believe the language specifically is the president deems that it's uncontrollable by local authorities. Local or state authorities, the federal government can step in the case of an outbreak, natural disaster, terrorist attack. It just changed the language of the bill, but that is still, it is murky. You know, Alex believed that it violates posse comitatus.
Of course.
Which it doesn't. Because it's an act of Congress. And posse comitatus says that except by an act of Congress, the military cannot act in law enforcement capabilities. This is an act of Congress. Doesn't violate posse comitatus. So.
You know, it violates the spirit of posse comitatus.
It very may well. But.
Yeah, because posse comitatus really was always about commenting on those posses, you know
right.
what I'm saying?
And grilling with your boys.
You know how at the old job site they're always commentating on them posses?
Absolutely.
Oh man, look at that posse walking by.
So you are maybe iffy on posse comitatus being broken? I say it's not.
No, of course it's not.
Here's why it doesn't matter. And Alex is a liar.
So many reasons.
So this was 2007 for the fiscal year 2008. And it doesn't matter because the 2008 Defense Authorization Bill entirely repealed the changes to the Insurrection Act. If you look into it.
Of course.
If you look into it the next year, they're like, fuck that.
That was a terrible idea. We're going to move on.
And Obama didn't in any way, like, violate posse comitatus. He didn't act in some way as to declare an insurrection.
No, and it seems like everybody did not have any interest in it. And whenever they could, they were like, fuck this.
Yeah, but the next time that the bill came up, it was discussed. And they're like, let's get rid of that.
Right.
And so they did. The next year. And this
Anything
episode.
Jeff Sessions votes for, we got to change
this
shit.
This episode is in 2012. It was completely
4 years after it doesn't matter anymore.
Exactly.
Gotcha.
So he's completely lying about that, just completely made up bullshit.
The NDAA.
That's the same thing. That's what he's talking about.
The Enemy Commissions Act.
NCAA.
The Enemy Commissions Act is not a real thing.
Oh, man. Lightning round it is.
Yeah. The Enemy Commissions Act is not a real thing. What he's talking about is the Military Commissions Act, which is an act of 2006. The act, the Military Commissions Act, also known as the MCA, it waived habeas corpus rights to non-citizens detained as enemy combatants. Many people believed that the wording was too vague, and in effect, what it could do is allow military tribunals to waive habeas corpus rights to citizens. Although, if you actually read the wording of the bill, it says specifically aliens. And if you want to, you know, that could be raptors. It's unclear.
I have no opinion whatsoever. I think if you are born on American soil, regardless of species.
Uh-huh. So a lot of people were still upset about this, and the ACLU was also on board being against it, that the rule was too vague and it needed to be looked into.
Yeah.
So someone brought suit, and it made it all the way to the Supreme Court in a 2008 ruling, Boumediene versus Bush. The Supreme Court ruled that the MCA was unconstitutional and would restrict detainees' habeas corpus rights and the right to appear in a federal court.
We did it!
Even in the context of non-citizens, they deemed that was unconstitutional. The necessary changes...
Which is why they're kept in Cuba in Guantanamo Bay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So there are still problems.
Yeah.
But it's not this.
Not doing great.
Not the enemy combatants or the Military Commissions Act
right.
that he's talking about.
Because they don't exist.
Right. The necessary changes... that were requested about the habeas corpus rules that were deemed unconstitutional by the Supreme Court were made in the Military Commission Act of 2009, 3 years before the episode that we're listening to
all
now.
Right.
And they affirmed that all detainees had access to U.S. federal courts to challenge their detention.
Unless they were in Cuba, in Guantanamo Bay.
Right. And that's the other thing.
We still haven't closed Guantanamo Bay?
Right. Well, the other thing is that, like, a lot of these things are probably to save face more than they are to detain
Absolutely.
White militia types. They're more to avoid having to deal
They're
with
more
the,
to allow themselves to detain right. non-white
so,
everybody.
So again, I want to go back to the NDAA because he mentioned that after the John Warner Defense Authorization Bill.
Right.
That is, they're sort of intertwined, but I want to give Alex a little bit of credit. Because there was also an NDAA that passed in the end of 2011 for the year 2012.
Which brought the rule changes back?
No. No. It, the issue that people bring up with the NDAA of 2012 is that it brought up the question of indefinite detention of enemy combatants.
Right.
So it's a scary idea. But most legal scholars who have chimed in on the matter have made the case that based on the wording of the act, it doesn't, the NDAA does not in any way amend the powers that already existed, due to the Authorization of Military Force Act that, was launched at the beginning of the Iraq War.
Right.
So the indefinite detention aspect of it is not real because within the Authorization of Military Force Act, which governs this, NDAA, it's not indefinite detention. The authority to detain ends with the cessation of hostilities. So whenever the war is over, detention must end.
Which now, is why it is never going to be over.
Right.
Yeah.
That's the other problem.
There we go.
But if we want to take what the actual problem is, it's the idea of having a war against an ideology or some sort of nebulous concept.
Right.
As opposed to the idea that if you're at war with, let's say, Sweden, and you detain Swedes until the end of the war, that's what the NDAA and the Authorization of Military Force Act allows.
Right,
and
so that's the NDAA, so the rule in the NDAA is overridden by the MCA.
Well, and it reflects the Authorization of Military Force.
Gotcha.
So it's not actually some sort of thing that's in any way making things worse, expanding powers, or anything like that.
So you're saying it ain't no thing but a chicken man.
Exactly.
All of it. The Model States Health Emergency Powers Act.
All right, lightning round.
So, the Model State Emergency Health Powers Act. Jordan, this one.
All right.
This one's real fun.
All right. Okay.
This one isn't a real act.
Here we go.
So, this was not a bill. It was a suggestion of a bill. It was written by Lawrence Gostin, who is the director of the Center of Law and Public Health at Georgetown University in association with Johns Hopkins and the CDC. It was written right after the anthrax scare, after 9/11.
Right.
And so it was written
when we were all so shiny and bright
so
and young.
Oh. People realized that we needed a systematic plan in order to deal with a potential bio attack, especially in the case of like a contagious disease.
Smart.
That could become a plague. Like if someone were to weaponize Ebola or something
that,
you could end up with a complete disaster on
your hands. Movie Outbreak.
Right. And so this Lawrence Gostin realized the situation that could be ahead of us. And so he wrote up a mock bill. The Model State Emergency Health Powers Act is not about a model or ideal state. It's a model act.
Right.
It is in the, if you look at it, because you can find it, it's available online. It says, fill senator's name here. It's a form of a bill.
Right.
And there are a number of states that have now implemented it or have brought it through and implemented bills that are similar to it.
Because it's smart.
But they just use it as sort of a framework and they make their own changes that need to be made state by state basis.
Yeah.
And it's not a federal thing. Every state has the right, or not even the right, they can decide to introduce it and pass it or not. Alex should be thrilled with it. It's a state's rights thing. It's not federal.
Alex has never seen Schoolhouse Rock.
It's not a federal power grab, and it's not evil, but...
Even that part of the song is not like, I'm definitely not a bill. I'm a model fucking bill. Leave me alone.
I'm an idea. So the issue with that, though, is that it is not like this Lawrence Gostin... The way he wrote it was kind of short-sighted.
Yeah.
And the ACLU was quoted as saying that the bill is written in a way that doesn't adequately protect citizens against the misuse of tremendous powers that it could grant in an emergency.
That's smart.
Right. And so generally when these states have implemented it or introduced it, there are
much
restrictions
more controls.
That are put on
it. Yeah.
But that is not found in the model form of it.
Gotcha.
So Alex is just misleading people again. Let's get to the next
one. So the guy, so Lawrence wrote it with the idea of like, people will only use this for good. And he didn't put the protections in there because he never considered. Yeah. He didn't consider for a moment that it would be used for evil.
Right.
He was like, we're doing this to protect people.
Mm-hmm.
Gotcha.
The Emergency Centers Establishment Act.
Lightning round!
The Emergency Standards Establishment Act is also known as H.R. 645. This is legitimately just a plan for the Office of Homeland Security to establish regional refugee camps in recognition that there could be a natural disaster or attack, and there may be a need to assist displaced people.
Yeah.
These are built generally on, quote, closed military... I think it's closed is the way they put it. Military installations whenever possible, because the land is already owned by the government and there will always be, there's already substantial infrastructure on these military bases. There's already permanent structures built and they're closed military bases that aren't being used for anything else.
Yeah.
Plus,
smart.
Generally, military installations are built in relatively safe places in terms of flooding, in terms of that stuff. So it would be an ideal place to take displaced people when there's already a flood, let's say. It would be perfect for that.
Right.
So Alex makes a big deal out of it. It's not. It's nothing. It's if you can read the entire bill. It's like 4 pages long, and it's not at all scary. But Alex, you know, just wants to scare people.
Of course.
By naming a bunch of bills that don't say what he thinks it says.
The civilian inmate labor camp program.
So this one might be real.
Oh, okay. This isn't good.
No, this one.
I didn't like hearing you say this might be real.
This one might be real.
Oh boy.
I've looked into it a little bit, and from everything I can tell, there are. But look, here's the fucking bottom line: we have private prisons.
Yeah.
We have for-profit prisons in this country. So until Alex wants to start talking about that a little bit more, I don't really care about the inmate labor camp.
Well, I mean, the situation with the wildfire right now, we have inmates who are fighting this fire for
right.
20 cents an hour or whatever it
right.
is. We're literally using slaves to fight fire for us.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's
sure.
an issue.
No,
that's a big issue.
No, it's a huge issue. And you can see that in so many instances of like, where they have people doing this, essentially slave labor.
Oh, yeah.
And we have...
Well, Hillary Clinton and Bill, at the time where they were in the Arkansas governor's house, they had basically slave labor there.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. We have found a back route into re-legalizing slavery through our private for-profit prison industry.
And it's a good thing that we have the most prisoners in the entire world.
Yeah.
That's a good idea mm-hmm. because we need slave labor.
Right. So Alex conveniently...
Fuck America, by the way.
Not conveniently, but he leaves off something that he brings up all the time, which I actually think is kind of strange. But there's a thing called Rex 84 that he often brings up when it comes to the idea of these FEMA camps and these bringing together of oppressiveness on populations. I'm just going to read this here about Rex 84. Readiness Exercise 1984, or Rex 84 for short, was a scenario and drill created under the Reagan administration by Oliver North and the FEMA Deputy Director John Brinkerhoff. Throughout the Reagan administration, the black ops of the U.S. military and intelligence agencies effectively ran wild, especially in Latin America, where Reagan's aggressive intervention many times verged on intentional genocide by right-wing death squads with CIA backing. In this violent environment, the scenario described in Rex 84 is rather disturbing. It called for the rounding up of and preemptive detention of human rights and anti-war activists, as well as Latino immigrants. The ironic part about Rex 84, which many wingnuts seem not to grasp, is that the program was targeted against civil rights groups, anti-war groups, organized labor, immigrants, and minority communities in support of hegemonic capitalist right-wing American business interests. FEMA camps are not, as conspiracy theorists would have, some grand plot against conservative American patriots. Rather, the only administration to seriously consider interning dissidents was planning on doing so against the sorts of left-wing activists that the American far right despise the most.
Who would have guessed?
So that was from Rational Wiki.
Very
they
strange.
They have some citations, and that's very accurate.
Can't imagine any kind of situation where that would be misused.
No. So
Jesus fucking Christ.
So there we have, in this clip so far.
They're making it legal to do what Hoover did.
But that was back in Reagan's time.
Yeah,
exactly. That plan didn't go into effect, thankfully. But we have the John Warner Defense Authorization Bill, NDAA, Military Commissions Act, Model State Emergency Powers Act, Emergency Centers Establishment Act, and maybe the Inmate Labor Camp.
Racist at best.
So we have 5 out of the 6 that he mentioned that are completely bogus and he's misrepresenting and lying to his audience about. 2 of them specifically were overruled the next year.
Yeah.
And he knows that. He has to know that.
Does he?
Well, no, when I say he has to know that, I mean, this is his job. He has to know this.
Oh, okay. That's a way better way of putting it.
Right. I'm guessing he's probably dumb and doesn't know it.
Of course
but
not.
But he needs to know this.
Yeah.
It's important because he's riling up militia people. He's riling up, like, fucking weirdo anti-Semites and racists.
Right.
Who think that they're going into a camp when he's lying about every single piece of the way. So anyway, let's finish this clip.
The massive ramping up the last few years for internment specialists domestically. Whoops. Those public ads.
Forgot. I had another lightning round.
Oh, no. I thought we had made it through.
Nope. So, so Alex says that they're ramping up the hiring of internment specialists. And the only thing that he has to back this up is that they had a posting on GoArmy.com in the careers and jobs section for internment resettlement specialists. And when you look into it, if you Google it at all, you end up finding like blogs like this one, Renew America, that FEMA camp seeking contractors and personnel to staff and confine. Here's the first thing this article says. Caution. This is an exercise in ongoing citizen research and journalism. Consider yourself inside the news office. With some reports, verity is assured. With others, further corroboration or refutation must be done. Consider yourself also in the war room. Suppositions and suspicions must also be considered, and plans, preparations, and executions thereof made. So they're basically just saying...
He's a wingnut, and none of this is real.
Yeah, he's saying up top in the article that he wrote, hey, warning, I don't know about this.
I don't know a goddamn thing. But imagine it was true. Let's put a plan in place together, just in case.
Also, one of these, one of the authors on this Renew America site where this article is posted is Larry Klayman, who we know as the crazy lawyer who is involved in the Dennis Montgomery bullshit.
Oh, yeah.
And
Larry Klayman, where you been?
And if you scroll down, you find links to places like the shtfplan.com, which is the shithitsthefanplan.com, which is a preparedness website where it is covered with gold and silver sales ads. It is just completely covered, but there's one ad on it that I think is very special.
Hide your guns.
Big Berkey.
Oh, Big Berkey!
Big Berkey makes a comeback.
Oh, come on, man!
Yeah, they have.
Where are your imaginary pants?
They no, that's Gusset. That's
Gusset. God
Big
damn
Berkey
it.
Was the water people.
That's
that,
right.
That Alex dropped like a hot potato.
Big Berkey.
Yeah. So that like I don't think that there's any evidence that I can find that they were ramping up any of that. There just was a posting for an internment specialist, and that's reasonable because there are internment positions in ongoing theaters.
A lot of not just that, but that would be valuable for any number of refugee camps.
Oh, sure. And even in the United States, whenever there are, like, Katrina.
Yeah.
People in the Superdome and stuff
Absolutely.
Like that. So anyway.
I'm getting big chills right now. This morning when Watson sent me this document and we went and checked
it. You have a fever.
Confirmed and checked it in the Army registry that it is indeed a document that was marked classified and has now been leaked.
It was never marked classified.
And that it's on major GovTrack sites and contractor sites and is confirmed and ties in with the other FM3-39.40.
449964.
He says
1F.
He says
FM.
He says that the document that he's talking about, the biggest news in the world, ties in with 3.39-40. It is that. There isn't a second document. This is the exact same.
It's the same thing.
Yeah.
All right.
It's
great
just
radio.
Absolute confirmation.
Could you call Marriott
like
again? I was really starting to enjoy
that. You get a witness that says they got out of a basement and that the guy was burying little kids in there. And you go, you get a warrant. You catch the guy when he's walking out his front door. You put him in handcuffs. You call in the specialist. You go in, you pull up the floorboards in the basement. There's a bunch of dead kids in there. That's what this is. We just took the floorboards up, man, and it's there. God. What does this say? It says we better beat these people and take this country back.
Yeah. So, I mean, he's already there in that narrative, but that's
really
not a surprise.
I really think he wants to keep dead kids in his basement.
Mm.
Like, the more he describes that, the more it gets closer and closer to him, like, making a plan.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. I don't disagree. It does get vivid at times. But I want to take a step back and just really stretch my shoulders out.
Wop, 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 wop.
Daddy Shark.
Yeah.
I feel pretty good about that research.
Mm.
Read a lot of documents.
Could you be a little bit more pleased with yourself, Dan?
I can't.
Well, you can't be.
I will be in a minute, actually. Okay. This next clip is, I would like to send this clip to Alanis Morissette, because I think this clip is the definition of irony.
It might actually be ironic.
Oh yeah.
Okay.
This is crazy ironic.
I've worked in radio stations. I've been in 590 as a guest when they bring in a PSYOP officer with a book he's published about how great Afghanistan is. And the guy confronts me in the hall with his eyes twinkling, you know, getting off on the fact that he's a secret agent. I just said, man, you're a traitor. And he was in there running PSYOP saying, this is like 5 years ago, that, well, Gruckheimer says that we kill men, women, and children. But, and then in the hall trying to intimidate me. So I just blew up at the guy and told him he was a traitor. I mean, just because, I want to say something, just because you've been brought into this as a senior police officer or military officer or bureaucrat or contractor, you're being fed psyops and lies as well. Your future is being destroyed.
Interesting.
Alex.
That's amazing.
Alex.
That's so crazy.
Alex, write that down.
Yeah.
Write down step by step what happened and then write Steve Pachenik in there and you're like, oh, fuck.
From our 2015 investigation, we've seen how Steve Pachenik is running a crazy con on Alex.
Yeah.
And, like, exactly what he's saying there is what happened
to him. It's exactly what happened to him.
It's crazy.
He's so gullible.
Isn't that gorgeous, though?
The people who think that they're immune to con men are always the ones who go, buy it hook, line, and sinker.
We're going to get to Alex saying something very similar to that here in a minute.
No!
But before we do, Alex has one more bullshit piece of
it. I still think he gave that Nigerian prince all his money.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Absolutely. And met him at a bar.
And did it again.
Yeah. My friend.
Yeah.
So anyway, Alex has one more bullshit piece of evidence of the FEMA camp stuff.
They admit they're going to use troops from 15 nations during civil emergencies to deal with insurrection and terrorists. NLE09, FEMA.gov. Type in NLE09, FEMA.gov. You'll read it.
Giddy up.
I mean, this is so hardcore. The master plan to use us against each other to kill each other.
So what do you think about that?
I mean, if that is your master plan, it seems like it would be messy.
Mm-hmm.
There are, like, more effective ways to do it. There are cheaper ways to do it, I assume, than organizing a mass war against internal forces.
Yeah. So, but do you think Alex is telling the truth about this
NLE09? NLE09. You can type it into the website. Of course he's telling the truth. If I can research it, which I won't, but I can, that means he must be telling the truth.
I did.
Oh, you should not have done that.
I Googled it.
Ooh, you can't Google that.
And what'd you find?
You have to go to the website.
One of the things.
FEMA.gov.
Right. This is actually DHS.gov. One of the things you find is a press release dated July 24th, 2009. 3 years before Alex's episode we're listening to right now.
Uh-huh.
And it's straight up from the Homeland Security website. It says, for immediate release. This is a press release.
Yeah.
That they put out. The Department of Homeland Security will launch on Monday the 5-day National Level Exercise 2009, NLE09, the first national level exercise to focus on terrorism prevention in conjunction with federal, state, local, tribal, private sector, and international partners. Quote, coordinating with our partners across the United States and around the world is critical to protecting the nation from terrorist attacks, says Secretary Janet Napolitano. The national level exercise allows us to test our capabilities in real time to confine and strengthen our strategies for preventing terrorist attacks. This is something that had been going on for a number of years. It had a different name before that, but this is just a joint exercise that's done. It doesn't always involve foreign countries, and it's not 15 countries. International partner nations will include Australia, Canada, Mexico, and the United Kingdom. The Navajo Nation will also participate.
Okay.
Yeah. And what it is...
That seems pretty straightforward.
What it is just training exercises. As I understand it, they come up with a scenario, and they have them run through the scenario.
Yeah.
And how they would coordinate with each other, and... It's important...
They're wargamesing.
Mm-hmm.
Like in real life wargamesing.
Right.
As opposed to us.
It's like what the idea behind Jade Helm was.
Yeah.
That, like, you can't train in Iraq. You
know,
you can't do that there.
It's not a great idea.
No, and it's not.
You're going to get yourself killed.
It's not for targeting civilians.
What is this, Starship Troopers? Come on.
You train on your own turf, you know, to get better at doing things elsewhere. Or even to get better at doing things here, because terrorists do exist here. So, this is bullshit. There aren't 15 nations. I can find no evidence of that anywhere. I see 4 plus the Navajo Nation.
Which would the other 10 be?
All the Axis of Evil.
Okay.
All of them.
Wait.
Iran.
New Axis of Evil or old Axis of Evil?
No, this is 2009. So 2009.
So Germany, Italy.
Oh boy.
Wait, Japan.
Not the Axis powers.
Wait, no, what?
Not the Axis powers. Well, maybe actually.
Actually, yes, those would absolutely be there.
Yeah.
Along with France, Spain, and why not Luxembourg? They got a huge terrorism issue.
What a difference 60 years makes.
Absolutely.
So, Alex.
Lupin the Third is stealing shit, and they gotta have some Interpol working on that.
Alex, he hasn't read this.
Lupin the Third!
Alex has not read this FM3-39.40. I know that to be the case because.
It's long.
It's very long.
See, that was all I needed to know.
It's hundreds of pages.
All I needed to know.
He absolutely didn't read it.
Of course not.
But here he gets lost in a fantasy.
He didn't even make it all the way through The Hobbit. The Hobbit, Dan. That's not even Lord of the Rings we're talking about. The Hobbit is a fun adventure story. You should be able to get through that in an evening.
He read the chapter titles.
Yeah,
that's the headline of a novel. Chapter titles.
The headline of the novel.
Well, it's certainly true in Around the World in 80 Days. Those long-ass titles.
Oh, yeah.
In which Passepartout finds... Well, gosh,
I'm a big fan of that.
Tighten it up.
I loved the chapter titles from Blood Meridian by Cormac McCarthy, which was just a short synopsis of the... You would read the chapter titles and be like, I got it. The judge is fucked up.
All right. In this clip, Alex...
The judge is the devil. We get it, McCarthy.
That's one of the synopses.
You got one theme. Let's go.
So in this next clip, Alex fantasizes about being tortured.
Once the detainees have been processed into the internment camp, the manual explains how they will be re-educated with particular focus on targeting political dissenters.
Like left-wing dissenters.
Well, that was...
Into expressing support for U.S. policy. The re-education process is the responsibility of the psychological operations officer, also known as a traitor against America, I should add, whose job it is to design PSYOP products that are designed to pacify and acclimate detainees, or DCs, as they're called, to accept U.S. or IR facility authority regulations. That's UN, ladies and gentlemen. According to the document, that's a quote. The manual lists the following roles that are designed to the PSYOP team. Identifies malcontents, trained agitators, and political leaders in the facility. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
They're going to turn me over to the absolute torturers, man. Yeah, well, good luck. Good luck. Problem is the coward torturers will sit back while troops are dying, bringing people into these pigs.
I'll blow up all of my pigs.
Yeah, so.
I would never touch them chickens, though.
FM.
I love those chickens.
FM.
I'm the chicken Alex.
FM.
Yes.
Let's see if you could do it again. FM3-39.40 is a field manual for operations in internment in foreign theaters. It talks about host nations repeatedly, and what these conspiracy theorists, such as Alex and hundreds of other websites that you can find if you Google it, they misrepresent something that's very important. There are a couple passages about operations.
Yeah,
in the
we've
United
talked
States.
A little bit about that before.
Right, I'm going to talk about it a little bit more.
Okay.
Just because it is
it's
what this
part of the lightning
about.
Round.
This isn't lightning. This is thunder. This is the aftermath.
Oh man.
So
all right, Dan.
They talk about how
you poetic son of a bitch.
They have to change operations from what they would do in a foreign theater in the case of domestic operations. Including the operations that they might use this in are operations that address consequences of natural or man-made disasters, accidents, terrorist attacks, or incidents in the United States and its territories.
Right.
That makes complete sense.
Yeah.
That is something that you would need, because otherwise you're going to have mass chaos.
Right.
And what they do, these conspiracy theorists, is they conflate the most of the guidebook and the couple passages about domestic operation.
Right.
They don't realize that all of the stuff about PSYOPs, about finding malcontents, and all that stuff is stuff that is very, very germane to foreign wars. There are tons of generals who have gone on record and said, I wish that we had had this when I was in this. when I was in the shit.
Right.
Basically all it is a reflection of lessons learned from Vietnam and Cambodia. Those times, we had instances like all of them when they tried to detain people, you had political dissenters in there, and there is a better way to deal with them
than violence.
Right.
Which was the only strategy back then.
Yeah, absolutely.
I don't understand why it is why are we even trying with conspiracy theorists?
No.
I mean, anytime they talk about bills or anything like that in the conspiracy, it doesn't matter. They're going to find a way.
Right.
Like, the only way to not deal with conspiracy theorists is if you don't publish this information, which you should.
Right.
But if you don't publish it, that means the conspiracy theorists are going to be like, what are they hiding from us?
Or if it gets found, then it's like you're trying to
right.
hide this from
what
us.
What we need to accept is that conspiracy theorists on this level are just like hoarders.
Yeah.
Like, these are people with serious depression or something along those lines.
Well, not all
and
of
they're,
them.
I'm not saying all of them.
Right.
In the same way that not all hoarders are people with serious depression.
Some people have a great collection.
Right. But it's very similar.
No, it is. And actually, let me get through this document, and then I want to get back to what you're talking about, because
okay.
I think there's an important point that we need to make.
Okay.
So I'm reading this from a foreign policy article.
And that's FM-389390.69. That's what we're going to do.
Yeah.
Nice.
At the beginning of the Iraq War, and even through the 2008 surge, there were few guidelines and regulations to help soldiers conduct these massive detention operations, according to a former military officer who conducted detainee operations in internment facilities in Iraq. Quote, I would have loved to have this field manual 5 years ago, he said. The vast majority of guidance in the manual is intended for use in foreign theaters, he said, noting that only a handful of paragraphs from the 326-page manual address domestic operations of any kind. An Army spokesman speaking on background said the current spate of online postings had taken passages from the manual significantly out of context, conflating wartime operational guidance, such as psychological operations, with peacetime operations, in which a limited number of the manual's principles would be applied on U.S. soil in exceptional cases such as the relief efforts after Hurricane Katrina.
Right.
Now, granted, the Hurricane Katrina, there was some bungling and what have you.
Oh, was there?
Absolutely. But this last paragraph in here, I think, is the most salient one. And I think it'll lead us to what I wanted to get to with your point.
Yes.
And that is, radicalization is driven in large part by victimization narratives, whether it's fear of Big Brother watching, big banks looting, big government seizing one's guns, or a big global war on Islam. A document like FM-3-39.40 is read as a confirming the worst fears of an unusually wide spectrum of political dissenters, radicals, and would-be violent extremists from the right, left, and other. Gasoline, meat, match. So the radicalization is driven in a large part by victimization narratives is really the most important piece there.
Mm-hmm.
And that is what you experience every day listening to Alex Jones.
Yeah.
Now, here's the point that I wanted to bring up. I don't think that questioning the government or being skeptical is at all unhealthy. And I don't think that's what you were saying.
Absolutely not.
But I am getting a load of, like, Alex says this frequently, that conspiracy theory, especially Roger Stone and him, been bringing this up because the JFK files are coming out and
right.
stuff like that.
Although the ones that were most important did not come out.
No.
Which is like, what a cock tease the American government
is. Well,
it
might come out in 180 days.
Nah.
But I've heard Alex make this point. I've heard Roger Stone make this point. And then on the supposed left, I've heard Jimmy Dore make this point on Twitter. The idea that conspiracy theorist was a term popularized by the government and the CIA after the JFK assassination to tar and feather all the people who had questions about it and make them look like crazy people.
Maybe you guys made yourselves look like crazy people.
Well, that's possible. But also, if you look into it, if you do a deep dive on it, you will find that the term conspiracy theorist has had the exact same connotation that it has currently, dating back to the mid to late 1800s.
Of course.
There are instances of it being used in the exact same slightly pejorative or slightly dismissive way.
Right.
Dating back over 150 years. It's nonsense. This idea that the government was like, hey, we're going to use this term and it's going to catch on like wildfire.
But is anything more appropriate than conspiracy theorists thinking that conspiracy theorist is a conspiracy.
Bingo. And
fantastic.
It perpetuates victimization narratives, which fuel radicalization.
Absolutely.
And that's what we're experiencing in the world today, and that's why Trump is our president.
But, you know, the one thing that it is, what should be taken away from that is the things that were listed are all things like, I don't, like, the government isn't coming to take your guns. Like,
no.
That kind of a thing. But
they are going to make you not be able to get an abortion, though.
Yeah, fucking Christ.
So,
kill us all.
Yeah.
No, but my point being, the things that they did describe are what radicalizes people, and they're things that the government has done to us.
Right.
And that is why we are radicalized.
Mm-hmm.
Like, fear of the big banks taking your money. They are.
Right.
They
right.
absolutely are.
Right.
Maybe they should stop that and we wouldn't be afraid of that.
Right.
You could conceivably, now this is crazy, Dan.
Right.
You could make that go away.
Foreign policy did not do the best job of coming up with examples.
Right.
And I would be.
Or eternal
and
war,
dude,
against an ideology that's going to radicalize people.
And dude, I'm entirely remiss in, if I don't point out that, like, a lot of the things that conspiracy theorists are conspiracy theorizing about are things that, you know, like, there's some history to people doing that, like false flag narratives.
Absolutely.
Have a root in reality.
Right.
But that's stuff that happened 60, 70 years ago.
Right.
Like, a lot of the instances that they give are like the Gulf of Tonkin and stuff like that. That's a long time in the past. They have to scramble to turn current events into false flags in order to be like, they're still doing it.
Of course.
And when you do that, when you have that mentality, you end up saying things like Sandy Hook is fake. By the way, Alex Jones the other day said Sandy Hook was fake. In 2017, he said Sandy Hook was fake.
You gotta give the man credit.
For going back on it?
Absolutely.
You know why? Because he probably heard Steve Pachenik say that someone scared him out of believing it. He's like, fuck you, Pachenik.
Of course.
Right. He got
cucked. Of course.
He got cucked out by Steve Pachenik.
He can't, and also, who's gonna stop him?
Right.
Who gives a shit?
And it's not like—
We're literally the only people who are like, you need to stop this guy,
or at least
because of all the crime.
Or at least, like, we need to pay attention to him, and
yeah,
that will stop him.
Yeah,
not like kill him, not like take him off the air or anything. But pay attention to the things he's actually saying,
or
and
you
how
know,
much damage he's causing.
And if he's doing something that he should be arrested for,
which he has,
arrest him.
Right.
Or do the thing where you arrest him.
Being an accessory to Larry Nichols blackmailing Congress and Mueller.
Just a whole fucking thing.
Oh, speaking of which, now that those charges are coming down.
Yeah,
we got to call Larry back.
Ooh,
but we're recording this.
I don't want to do that.
I don't either. We're recording this on Sunday, and so we don't know who the indictments are for. Also, we're recording this on Sunday, so we don't know what Roger Stone's response is going to be to being kicked off Twitter. That'll come in a future episode.
He hasn't tweeted about it yet.
No, actually, he did.
Of course,
he tweeted from his "Bring Me Roger Stone" documentary Twitter.
Okay,
someone tweeted, someone tweeted at like support or whatever that Roger Stone is tweeting from. He's moved over to his other account.
Yeah,
and he wrote back, "I've always been here, slap dick." Which I love.
You gotta give him style points at least.
Called him Slapdick.
Slapdick is solid.
Which makes me think of Jeff Jarrett. Pro wrestler Jeff Jarrett used to call people slap nuts, which I loved. Then he'd hit people with a guitar filled with cocaine.
Like El Cabong?
Yeah, basically.
Okay.
But it was filled with cocaine.
How do we know what El Cabong's? Well, it did explode.
That's
every
a fair
time.
Point. So let's move on to this next clip. We got a couple left. I think we've done a pretty good job of debunking a lot of this.
I think you crushed it.
A lot of these narratives are
in the lightning round. You got 5 for 6, my friend.
Well, and the sixth, I was even like, I don't know.
Yeah,
it looks like it could be real.
No, you would absolutely have won on the feud.
6 for 6.
You would have won on the feud for sure.
What about on the $25,000 pyramid?
Top 5 answers on the board. All of them are false.
Hot dog. So let's get into this. In this next clip, we get a further extension of the mythology of Alex Jones's father, the CIA dentist.
Okay.
Some of us aren't going to make it through this, but that is not what matters.
Great start.
Freedom and dignity and honor and innocence. Every time I look at my children, other people's children, how innocent and good they are, I realize that we just absolutely should be honored to fight this tyranny and should not be afraid at any level. The only fear you need to have is of not, while you're alive this one time, standing up against these people in this test. But this is so real.
Fake crying again.
And again, it's accelerated. It's built to a fever crescendo. My father was approached by a patient of 10 years who revealed to him he was a Homeland Security spy and wanted him to spy on his patients.
Why?
My dad
teeth
played along with it to discover more and found out it was real. Called the card number, all of it, and then went to talk to the dentists that work under him, and they had all been visited at their homes.
Okay.
By other Homeland Security.
Okay.
Ladies and gentlemen, the average person gets approached by this and gets on a power trip. If you're out there listening and think you're special, a preacher,
no
a doctor,
so many
a lawyer,
wake up with
a government
They're
person, a InfraGuard corporate person, you think you're special, mm-hmm. you're always told that. You're known as a dupe, useful idiot, moron, okay? And the type of people, you know, my dad said that this person, you know, is very narcissistic, very weak. He said the Homeland Security people he talked to were the same way. Well, yeah,
talking
we're firing
you,
an
Alex.
Army of just scum. I mean, these people are filth, but they've got our military working for them. Hmm. So what are they going to do when most of the military is awake? They're going to have stunts. They'll blow up Chicago with a nuke, or they'll attack a bunch of bases with rogue groups and put patsies on TV and then say, we attacked the military.
5 years later, I can confirm Chicago is still here.
Is it?
Yeah, it's still here. And also, I think at the end there...
Because I don't want that to happen, Dan.
I don't either. At the end there, he's doing a really good job of sort of preemptively contextualizing any white supremacist militia attack as globalists trying to pin an attack on them.
Of course.
It's perfect. So anyway, that's dumb. But I can't hang with this narrative about his dad. And here's why.
Just one reason?
Well, I mean, the one big one is, come on. But then, the more specific...
That's a solid reason.
The more specific...
Occam's razor would suggest that, come on, is the correct reason.
I have two really big points.
Okay.
The first is, why are they trying to get all these dentists?
Who's going to the... We don't know what his patient base is.
That's true. But still. He said that they were trying to get a bunch of other dentists.
Well, if one of his patients is a DHS spy.
For 10 years,
right?
Right.
So who else is going to there? I assume there are FBI spies going to him.
Totally.
Russian agents going to him.
At that point, are they all spying on
Venezuelan
the dentist?
Drug dealers?
Are they all spying on Alex's dad?
Who isn't?
Right, at this point.
Yeah.
So here's the other problem. If we are to believe the things that Alex says about his dad, the globalists tried to get him when he was like 16, and he rebuffed their advances.
Yeah.
So then he grows up, and he becomes a dentist. And the globalists try to get him again.
Of course.
Knowing that they're fishing in a dry well. This guy has already said absolutely not to your genocidal plans.
Not only that, they're fishing in the dentist's well.
Right.
He's a dentist.
Mm-hmm.
No, this is the jingle writer running guns to
right.
Venezuela again or
right.
whatever.
Right, it's just him trying to mythologize
yeah,
his dad.
Yeah, what are you fucking doing?
It's nonsense, but it's fun. It's fun.
How would he spy on people? He's a dentist. Is he just going to... Like, if he starts asking questions, he's not shitting him out. The dentist is the worst spy.
No, because you knock him out and then look at their cell phone. I don't know. It's dumb. But look.
That actually could work because if they're knocked out, you can use the thumbprint on the iPhone.
Mm-hmm.
You can crack that shit real easy.
Or an eyeball scan.
What's easier is social engineering, mm-hmm. not hacking. That's the trick.
Sure.
I watched the movie Hackers.
It's a good movie. It's not a good movie.
No.
So, my dad is a religious studies professor.
Uh-huh.
And if I mythologized him to the extent that Alex does his dentist father, I would have to say that my dad wrote the Bible.
Well, what you don't know is that your dad was approached by God, and so were the three dentists that worked underneath him.
Sure, they wanted him to spy.
Of course, they wanted
heathens.
Him to spy on the devil.
Right, on his sort of
Alex.
Degenerate son.
Yeah.
So that's nonsense. A little bit later, Alex gets a call. And this call is very rational. It's a very reasonable person.
Okay.
And Alex thinks that he's a spy.
Jay, thanks for calling and holding. What's your view on civilian inmate labor camps and people being arrested for their political views and held by the army at concentration camps?
Well, I definitely think that that there are legitimate issues like NDAA. That's legitimate policy. I think that Presidential Directive 51 is.
So I want to stop there.
All right, he's off to a good start.
I want to just stop right there, let's take a real focused look. He said that there are legitimate issues, and then in one of the things that he referenced as a legitimate issue is NDAA.
Yes.
Remember that.
But with regard to this particular document, I would like you and or Paul Joseph Watson to point us specifically to where this mentions anything about CONUS. Because I have found this document on an Army website, armypubs.army.mil. This is not a top secret document, and I think
it says restricted. Oh, again, I should just settle down. You're calling in trying to run a psyop here on our audience. It's illegal to have the TSA all over the country doing warrantless checkpoints and training police to search bags. Okay, that's been ruled over and over again. We've got regular military and Marines right where you're out there. In California, in the news, running DWI checkpoints 30 miles from base on U.S. citizens. That's
illegal.
They
don't even want people to get drunk anymore.
Homeland Brigade saying they'll pull triggers on citizens. I've been to countless urban warfare drills, and you're calling up.
Drills.
So, he said that there's an article in the Army Times where they say that they're going to start pulling triggers on civilians. I can't find this article, but I think he would probably just say that they took it down.
Of course, now that you've revealed it.
Right, and then him saying...
Even though it was their plan to put it out openly.
Right.
To mock...
PSYOP.
The people who were...
PSYOP.
Asleep?
PSYOP.
Gotcha.
And then he says that he's been to these drills and stuff like that. I can't confirm that. I could say that I've done everything.
It sounds like a urban militia drill, likely.
Sounds like my dad was a spy, dentist spy.
Your dad is God, though. We should ask him.
True.
Hair's on fire. You shouldn't be upset. And you started out by saying NDAA is legitimate.
He didn't. He said that it's a legitimate bill. He said that there's issues and that was listed as one of them.
Right.
Alex is intentionally twisting his words.
Of course.
Across the political spectrum, the entire world, even the communist London Guardian, said this is unprecedented evil, the secret arrest of U.S. citizens. Unbelievable. You think PDD 51 is great? I guess. So let me guess. What type of police officer are you? And do you feel like this is okay because you've been let in to some of it and told the psyop that was crafted for you?
So Alex has at this point decided that he is a cop or something like that.
Right.
And is working with the globalists.
A psycop.
Right.
No one said this is okay. What I'm saying to you is this particular document is not what you're making it out to be, and you need to tell us specifically where it mentions the continental United States within this document. You are misleading your audience like you did before with 20 minutes with the president.
Kick
ass! Okay, I want to... Hold on one second. No.
So apparently...
Hold on one second. No.
Apparently, previous to this in the episode, he had tried to do a satire piece where he pretended to interview the president.
Of course. Clint Eastwood style.
Right.
That was a mock interview with the president that we had a computer glitch for a minute. The thing wasn't on the bottom. That happens. It was like 20 pages long. Look, I'm trying to find something here. Where is the article?
This is a boring
I just
joke.
Read this
read
to people. I just read from the document.
You read
it says
Paul
it's
Watson's
for
article.
In the U.S. We read that part. And it says identifies malcontents, trained agitators, political leaders within the facility who may try to organize resistance to create disturbances, develops and executes indoctrination programs to reduce or remove antagonistic attitudes, identifies political activists, provides loudspeaker support such as administrative announcements at facilities.
So, but none of that.
Tell the nice lady at customer service all of this. But, she needs to know.
But none of this is in relation to continental United States.
The whole thing that the caller was asking is where does it say in the United States?
Right, and it does say it a couple times. But if you get into the context of where it says those things, it's not in nefarious ways.
Right.
And you have to really stretch in order to make it that.
Right.
Instructions where necessary. Helps the military police commander control detainee and D.C. populations during emergencies. Plans and executes PSYOP program that produces an understanding and appreciation of U.S. policies and actions. So you don't deny that this doesn't exist. You're saying that, well, I mean, what's misleading? Tell me.
What I'm saying is this, Alex. I'm not denying
hold on.
That the
hold
exists.
On, buddy boy.
Almost let
you
him talk.
You said I'm
almost.
Misleading people. You tell me in this document what I'm misleading people again. Don't use that
to.
Perry Mason garbage where you say, or I do some satire and you say everything I do satire.
One
this is not satire.
So
I got one more thing for you.
I recently had a conversation with friend of the show Far Out, and he was talking about the idea of interviewing Alex. And I told him, though I've been studying him for almost 11 months in complete dedication, I would never want to talk to him.
Of course not.
And this clip is demonstrative of why.
Because he would just yell at you.
There's no point to it.
No.
And so anyway, let's finish up this clip, and then we can talk that out a little more.
Okay. Now, I'm talking straight to you. Right now, I'm asking you, what isn't true about this groundbreaking FM3-39.40? What is in this document, okay, that is not ground? It is groundbreaking. Groundbreaking.
Changing
now, I already knew
post.
This because I've been to these drills and seen it without it being, you know, admitted. That they are saying this will be used domestically as well in DOD support to U.S. civilian authorities for domestic emergencies and domestic law enforcement and other activities. Let me
paragraph.
Ask you as a police officer, do you ever use the military and warrant service?
Tell us page and paragraph in the PDF where we can find it in reference to the United States of America.
I have the document. I mean, I've just read from
it. Paul. Get Paul on the air and have him tell us where it's at because he read it. He wrote about it.
Hold on, are you saying, sir, we've got all the links where they are doing the hiring and saying it's for domestic operations? Well, I appreciate that. Listen, you're not going to answer my questions, are you? Have you worked with the military as a police officer in domestic operations?
I called to ask you about this.
Yeah, that's enough. I'm done with you. You think you're part of the system. You watch what happens to this country. You try to stall the American people and use PSYOP techniques on them. You go ahead and do that, buddy.
So, I would like to say at the end of this, you look what's going to happen to the country. You use PSYOP techniques on people. And then you look what's going to happen. 5 years later, look what's happened, Alex. You use PSYOP techniques on your audience. And we know this because one of your biggest influences is a PSYOP officer. So,
And even then, even if it's not, even if you don't want to call it PSYOPs, even then, all PSYOPs really are
propaganda.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's absolutely.
Like when you say conduct a PSYOP on people to get them to like American policy, it's just like, well, in the same way that Alex Jones says you should like Trump.
Right.
And gives all these bullshit reasons.
The only difference is that these are enemy combatants.
Yeah.
And it's a war setting, whereas
exactly.
Alex is doing it to civilians.
Yeah.
So
if
he's
anybody
actually worse.
If anybody is worse.
This might be, and I'm not advocating for the death of Alex Jones, but if I were
that sounds like a sentence that I would start.
Yep. If I were designing a perfect world, if I were designing a civilization that I think would function perfectly.
Well, the show Designing Women would be first and foremost.
Meshach Taylor.
Absolutely.
Linda Bloodworth Thomas.
Done.
Delta Burke. One of the things that I would say that actively and consciously engaging in propaganda should be an executable offense because of the amount of disasters that you create, the amount of misinformation, how many people you lead astray through attractive but deceitful news purveyance. Like, it is a disaster. There is the possibility of us really ever coming together and working towards common goals is completely knocked off track by people like Alex Jones.
Absolutely.
And I'm not saying, again, I'm not saying he should even be arrested, because that's not the world we live in. But in a utopia, we would really look at the idea that you are willingly misleading people.
Executing people might be. That's counterproductive.
Throw them in prison, though.
That's counterproductive as well.
Well, I know, but that's why we do this show the way we do it.
Well, what we should have is fucking classes in school.
Right.
That's like, here's how you recognize propaganda.
Teach rhetoric.
Now, the reason we can't have those classes is because religious people would go hog wild.
Well, and
because then they'd have to be like, okay, well, we know religion isn't real.
Right. We've reached an Ouroboros kind of because also the reason that you can't get the schools to work as well as they should is
because
people
of people
like this. Because
exactly.
of propagandists.
Because people don't even
want
to use vaccines or any fucking bullshit. These people are stupid.
Schools can't run well when we have things like standardized testing, No Child Left Behind, Common Core shit, and the funding isn't there. Like, you can't teach kids what they need to know to grow up understanding logic and rhetoric. Those two things are critically important. Is you need to understand how to deconstruct an argument, number one. That you cannot get through life without, or else you will be tricked by people like this ding dong.
Right.
Second, you need to understand rhetoric.
And our buddy Eddie Bravo. He's never going to make it out.
Ugh, poor Eddie.
Poor Eddie.
Sweet, sweet Eddie.
You stupid bastard, Eddie.
But you also need to understand rhetoric, because you need to understand rhetorical tricks people use, like Alex shutting down every single time this guy tries to talk and then pretending that he's not answering his questions.
Right.
That is a rhetorical technique in order to silence your opposition. You need to know these tricks because you need to know when people are using them, and then you can take the next step, which is, why are they using them? And we go back to your religious argument. People would shut down all of that discussion because they know secretly that their argument doesn't make sense.
Of course not.
So, yes, absolutely. School shit. Okay, I'm going to walk back the idea of killing propagandists.
I like where your heart is at,
right,
Dan. I'll tell you why.
This is the perfect role reversal.
Because sooner or later, you and I are going to agree on somebody to kill.
Right. And let me take, as I walk that back, I still think in a utopia, it would be a very serious deal to be a propagandist. Whereas now, it's just like, yeah, he's making money. But I think, I forgot my thought.
It's a good thought, which is, I lean back more towards...
I just remembered my thought.
Okay.
But go ahead.
I lean back more towards War of the Three Kingdoms in China. Mm-hmm. Whenever you had legalism and Taoism and Buddhism and all of those things arise.
I played Dynasty Warriors.
There you go.
Yeah.
Mainly because all of those were built around the idea of how is it that we get an effective government.
Mm-hmm.
Like if you read the Tao... Mainly it's about not like how you should live and how you should treat people, but if I were the king, here's how not to be an asshole about
it. Right, going with things.
Exactly. And all of that really boils down to, if you are running a competent government where the rule of law applies equally to everybody, where people are protected, where they feel safe, where they have their basic needs met,
mm-hmm.
where all of this stuff is stuff they don't have to fret about.
And this was before Maslow even came up with his hierarchy of needs.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And you will wind up not having to worry about these propagandists.
Totally. Well, yeah, that's a good point.
Because the root of all of this, the root of all of the why we believe in the propagandists, the why we believe in religion, the why we believe in all of this shit, is because life is miserable and nobody is doing anything about
victimization
it.
Narratives.
There we go.
It comes down to that. Like, you're miserable because you don't have your needs met and you need to find someone to blame. Alex Jones comes up with someone to blame for you and you jump on it.
Simple.
Yeah. So my thought that I got back was that...
If it's not about the Tao, I don't want to know, man.
Well, I don't know how I can relate it to that, but Alex doesn't believe what he's saying.
Yeah.
And I know that because if he did, he would be calling for taking the streets.
Absolutely.
If he legitimately believed that this was a government document that showed that they were intending to incarcerate dissidents in America in FEMA camps and separate agitators like himself, he would call for an overthrow of the fucking government and not in an info war.
Well, I mean, the easiest way to point to that, who are the people who really believe that abortion is murdering babies? The people who are out there.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you really believe that you are murdering a live thing, that is insane.
Yeah.
Right? So the people who are going out there and protesting and doing all that shit.
Blowing up clinics.
At the very least, they believe what bullshit they're selling.
I don't know if we
if
want.
If you're
look,
not.
I don't want to say at very least. I don't want to use that as like a feather in the cap for them.
Fair enough.
But you don't question the authenticity of their belief. Whereas with Alex, it's clearly a con game that he's playing. Because if he did believe the things he believes, he would be acting completely differently. And then secondarily.
He would be running his own militia.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And secondarily, the problem with that is like we can sort of assess what Alex Jones really believes and what he doesn't. But what's scary is to think about the logic that would be in a person's mind if they actually believed him.
Yeah.
Because if they actually believed him.
They're the ones who are going to take to the streets. They're the ones who are going to a fucking pizza place.
Let's take that out of it, even though that definitely is a piece of it. Let's just say old people. Or people who aren't going to storm places with guns.
See, now, in my perfect society, it would be an executable offense to be an old person.
Oh, boy. Going to go into Blade Runner.
I don't want to advocate.
Did you just watch the new Blade Runner?
I haven't. I want to see it so bad.
So what I'm saying is, if you actually believed in Alex Jones, logically, the thing that you should do is give him literally all of your money.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you believe that he is the person who has the best chance of taking down these globalists that he keeps scaring you about, then your money is useless if he loses. So the only logical, rational thing to do would be pour everything you can into him and do everything he tells you to. And that's kind of scary.
Well, I mean, your money would be worthless if he wins, too.
No. Why?
If he overthrows the government?
No, no, no.
They're going to have to issue. He's going to shut down the Fed.
No, because if you listened to him, you would have bought gold, too.
Oh, that's true.
So that would take care
of
that.
You give him all your paper money.
Right. You give up the fiat currency.
And you keep your $10 Liberty coins.
Or your Max bucks.
Yeah.
Or whatever.
Ooh.
So, like, that's the kind of stuff that when I listen to this, that's what really scares me, is the idea of rationality in his listeners, like a twisted rationality, or irrational logic.
But that's why so many people give to, like, your wealth.
Glitterbug churches?
Yeah, your wealth churches.
The prosperity gospel?
The prosperity gospel is the biggest and best con in the history of the world.
Totally. We should do an episode about Jim Baker sometime.
Oh, we could fucking mess that shit up.
Yeah, maybe we'll do that for, here in the future.
Yeah, I'm getting run down on, Kerry's anti-Semitism.
Yeah.
Running me down, man.
I was trying to get some work done the other night, and I was watching, like, Majority Report videos as I was getting work done, because I love Sam Cedar. He's great. And one of the things that was recommended to me, because I have terrible YouTube habits, was Carrie Cassidy is live. She was interviewing a guy live, or this guy was interviewing her live.
Okay.
And I watched about 20 minutes of it. Oh, boy.
Not good.
I mean, it was a lot of rehashing of stuff we already know.
Yeah.
But at the same time, while it was going live, there's a chat room on YouTube for the live streams.
Oh, that's trouble.
And these people weren't joking. They were in. It was wild.
That's scary.
Also, no updates about Jim Semivan.
Ah, man.
So we have just a couple clips left, Jordan, and then we can wrap this up, because this is a classic Knowledge Fight episode. We're already at 2.5 hours.
Yeah, this is back in the good old days.
Yeah, it's the weekend as we record this. Happy Monday to you and yours.
For sure.
So in this next clip, Alex Jones takes another call wherein they shit on the previous caller, who was completely rational and Alex talked over and decided was a cop for no reason.
Of course.
And young man like this guy just called in, he's either a fraud or a total goof or doesn't have a clue to what's going on in his life.
Or
well, you notice
person.
He wouldn't say if he works for the military. My gut says he's like a deputy liaison to the Pentagon or InfraGuard or FBI, because, you know, they do that and give him a little extra money. Listen, buddy, you're nothing special. They tried to recruit every dentist my dad works with. This is big, okay? Yeah. They've never done this before. They're building up for a giant offensive against this country.
They're even going after dentists.
They have to bring in foreign troops to enforce it, because I'll tell you, my whole family's military. I have sons in the military, been in the military, Afghanistan, Iraq. And I'm going to tell you right now, these fine young people in the military are going to rebel. They're not going to go along with it. So they're going to have to bring in lots of United Nations forces to do it.
Well, you know, I used to hear that 15, 16 years ago and think people were crazy, but they were all former military and they'd been in the briefings. Now it's in the news. 15 foreign nations to be used against domestic terrorists during crises. I mean, they're admitting it.
Okay. All right. So if you're saying that the United States military is going to rebel,
mm-hmm.
the largest military in the world, larger than all the other ones combined,
mm-hmm.
They're going to bring in some UN troops,
yeah,
and they think that's going to do it. If the U.S. military rebels against anybody, we're all dead.
Well, and like the countries that were listed in that DHS press release are Australia. They're not going to be able to help much.
No.
UK has a reasonably sizable army, but nothing compared to us.
Absolutely
Canada,
not.
No. Mexico, no.
Definitely not.
No. Mexico, even with their army, can't get the gangs and the cartels in.
Yeah,
in line.
If you're going to bring in foreign troops, I would bring in the cartels. They know how to fucking handle business.
Yeah, I mean, if you're using Blackwater, you might as well.
Yeah, you might as well fucking.
But like all of those countries, the ones that are actually, or the Navajo Nation, that's the one you got to worry about.
There we
go. That's a huge army.
Frankly, they may not have the people, but God damn it if they don't have the motivation.
Right. So, I mean, like, yeah.
If anybody wants to occupy the United States, it's the Navajo Nation.
Your point is well taken, though, that, like, quite frankly, nothing compares.
Yeah, there's nothing to fear unless the military does rebel.
Right.
In which case, we're all fucked.
Yeah, which is increasingly becoming a, not likelihood, but a possibility.
Right. Well, I mean,
because of Trump.
Imagine the United States run by a military junta.
Scary.
Like, that is the most, like, military juntas are horrific in small countries where they can't do anything.
Our
military can nuke everybody.
You're right. And actually, I wanted to get back to my idea about killing propagandists really quick.
All
right. One of the reasons that I feel confident about that in a utopia is when we look at things like what we talked about number of episodes back about Edward Bernays and his banana shit,
yeah,
leading to a 30-year civil war in Guatemala.
Right.
There are so many deaths that are attributable to propaganda. And it's not a game. Like, the things that Alex Jones says is not a game. He's making a ton of money on this shit. But people do lose their lives. People are terrorized. Like, I read an article recently about a couple that was at the Las Vegas country concert that was attacked. And the guy got shot in the head running away from the conflagration, as it were.
That's fucked.
And just because it was off by about an inch, he ended up surviving. And it wasn't that bad. I mean, it was bad, but it wasn't that bad.
It wasn't, relatively speaking, that bad.
And so he and his girlfriend had an interview, and they were talking about how immediately he was inundated with tons and tons of messages about how someone needs to kill him. Someone needs to shoot him in the head for real, because he is a fucking crisis actor,
yeah,
and all this shit isn't real. Now, that's not Alex Jones's narrative this time, but it's something he's perpetuated. It's something with the Sandy Hook stuff that he's perpetuated and fostered in people. The idea of crisis actors it doesn't start with him, but God damn it if he isn't one of the biggest people who's pushed that narrative. He has to share the blame in this. It's not no stakes. It's not a situation where you and I are sitting here and we're like, hey, Alex Jones sucks, doesn't he? This is damage. He's doing damage. And again, I'm not saying kill him or even put him in prison or even take him off the air, but we need to take this more seriously.
Right.
Those people are being terrorized. The families of Sandy Hook victims have been terrorized for years now at this point. It's just a byproduct of this shit. Guy coming to Pizza Hut, coming ping pong with a gun.
Yeah.
All that stuff is just very predictable outcomes. And this stuff about MS or FM3. This stuff in concert with all of his lies about Elohim City and Oklahoma City bombing shit, it combines to create a very dangerous white militia organization. And again, he's not solely responsible for creating that, but he's the most mainstream voice that is super in favor of it and popularizes it.
Yeah.
And clearly he's able to make effects in the world. He's able to make changes in the world. It's fucking nonsense. I don't understand why we don't have millions of dollars, quite frankly. That's what I'm getting to.
Well, because we debunk propaganda.
Right.
We don't dole it out.
Well, and because now, there's no money on the progressive side of things.
Exactly.
There is, like, the myths about Soros aren't real.
No.
Whereas the myths about the Koch brothers and the Mercers are.
Very real.
Yeah. So that's really what's going on. If Soros was real, like, in the way that Alex presents him,
yeah,
we would have a lot of money. We wouldn't be in my fucking bedroom right now. Anyway.
I don't know. I mean, we're not gonna defeat propaganda, by killing people.
No.
That's unfortunate.
Again, I was talking about a utopia that is hypothetical.
All right.
And you made a good point that talked me off the ledge about the Tao and about how it wouldn't be necessary or no one would gravitate towards propaganda if their needs were met.
Right.
And I agree with it.
Okay. So now, let's go hog wild. How would you kill all of the propaganda? What are we talking about? Are we bringing back guillotine? Because that was fun.
I actually...
Say what you want about the guillotine. People came to watch.
I would say in my ideal scenario, what it would be is a protracted trial wherein everything that they say, like, it would be just every episode of our podcast is played.
And by the end, they would have already killed themselves.
Point by point, this is what you said.
Right.
This is the reality of it. And make them confess to everything. And not through torture or anything like that.
Because that's just not how that works.
No, it'd just be like, get look.
Them, what we really need to do is get them really drunk one night and they'd admit it.
Yeah. But in court, demonstrate the untruthfulness of all their claims.
Mm-hmm.
And then seppuku.
Now. Next thought.
Seppuku.
After they're already
dead. An honorable death.
After they're already dead.
Right.
Also, they don't deserve that honorable death.
Nah.
After they're already dead, okay, I propose we Oliver Cromwell them, dig them back up, put them back on trial,
okay,
and then behead them.
Interesting.
That's my plan.
I'm going to get back to you on that.
Okay.
But let's get to these last two clips. This first one is... Alex misleading people about Hillary Clinton early.
Ooh.
This is 2012 misleading people about Hillary Clinton.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, we have the Hillary fake Kentucky voice. This is real from when she was running against Obama in 2008. Here it is.
I don't feel no ways tired. I come too far from where I started from. Nobody told me that the road would be easy.
That's enough. You think I'm joking. And I heard Rick Perry speaking to Hispanic groups in California running for president, and I would be so insulted because he was going, hello, good to see you.
No, he wasn't
speaking Spanish. He was going, I've got some family that does that. We'll be at a Mexican food restaurant and they'll
taco.
I mean, it's so condescending. Is that what you were talking? It'd be like Gerald if I went to an Italian restaurant and said, hello, Luigi, or like some kind of fake Italian accent. Oh, mamma mia. Or it'd be like if you went, you know, into, say, some East Texas people's restaurant and were like, hey, how you doing there, boy? Why don't you bring me a chicken fried steak? I mean, it's so condescending.
I have another example. How about you go on the BBC and do a British accent while you talk over the other guest on the show? That would be condescending.
That would be a little condescending.
A little bit.
That would be condescending on a large scale.
A little bit.
Yeah.
So anyway.
Also, clearly, she's one really bad at that accent.
Yeah.
That was maybe the worst Tennessean accent I've ever heard.
Yeah, it's not good.
And two, she's clearly just trying to be like, hey, look at this kind of bit I'm doing. It's you guys know that I'm cool with you, and it's just like a little thing.
No, what she's doing is she's reciting the lyrics of a song by James Cleveland, 4-time Grammy Award winner for Gospel Album of the Year. It's a song called I Have Gone Too Far to Come Back or something like that. I can't remember the exact name, but the lyrics of it are unfortunately written in that patois. Granted, I agree with you. The accent's not good.
It's bad.
But she's forced into it a little bit by the at least...
Man. Even back then, you can really see that her campaign handlers have no idea what they're doing.
Yeah.
Like, hey, let's take the stiffest, most knowledgeable person we can find.
Yeah.
And try and get them to do bits.
Yeah. And if I were to really make a complaint, I think I would more complain that it's a little racist.
I would go with that.
Because she's...
At the very least, pandering.
Yeah. No, because The James Cleveland song is from he was born in 1930.
Mm.
And these are old time songs. And so they're written kind of like how Jim's dialogue is written in Huck Finn.
Right.
You know, there is a little bit of that in it.
Or like how the national anthem supports slavery.
Right, right. Yeah. It's anachronistic to a certain
yes.
extent. And I would think that Alex could have a much easier attack point there than to say that she's doing a hillbilly voice and that's somehow disgraceful.
But he can't do that. He's got to attack her on that because she's stepping in on his game of bad accents.
Well, we saw what he did at the Marriott.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah.
So at the end there, he's sort of talking to somebody else, and that is Gerald Celente. He has Gerald Celente on, and he says a bunch of bullshit. He ends the show by saying that the president should talk to him, and I think there's no reason for that.
That would be fun.
He screams about some guy saying stuff about the army when he's never served. I don't know if Gerald Celente has ever served himself. I have no idea, but he's the age where he would have been in Vietnam. I have no idea. I don't want to cast aspersions because I don't know his history, but
right.
I don't know. You would think that he would bring it up while he's screaming at somebody about talking about the military. But be that as it may, he says this, and it's about Germany. And I think that based on the rants that I've gone on about propaganda on this episode, this is a fitting way for us to end the episode.
And, you know, these are the Germans. I mean, they have, you know, they have it down as far as engineering, style, culture. You know, this isn't a third world banana republic. And you see these beautiful buildings, Alex, from the late 1800s, early 1900s. And then you see in between them all new construction from post-World War II. And this keeps going on everywhere you go. These are all bombed out buildings. So it's been haunting me since I've returned. I said to myself, these are the Germans. How can they have let a two-bit little freak like Hitler destroy their entire country?
Well, victimization narratives.
Fast forward to 2016.
Mm-hmm.
Trump, President of the United States.
Well, I mean, one of the big reasons that people went along with Hitler was because of desperation,
right?
In the country, because of things that actually the global community was responsible for.
The Treaty of Versailles is proof of exactly what it is that I'm saying.
Right.
When people's needs are not met, they will absolutely go for whatever dumb fuck is going to give them that outlet for their dumb fuck anger.
Which anybody who expresses a way out of your victimization narratives. When Alex Jones exposes or exploits the job loss in the Midwest and in the coal mining territories, when he exploits the pain of people who have lost people to opiate addiction, when he exploits the fear of immigrants and these sorts of things, all he's doing is providing a convenient scapegoat in the fake globalists that he talks about all the time, exactly the same way Hitler did with the Jew bankers and the Jews in general. And so, Gerald, I would say, look in the mirror. That would be my recommendation. And, I mean, propaganda has its role to play in all of this. He brings up banana republics. We've talked about it.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of that is due to propaganda. And of course, capitalism run amok.
Right.
But, I mean, that's just sad to me.
I mean, yeah, you ultimately come down to propaganda is, especially when it's used as a tool by the government.
Mm-hmm.
It is just one part of that, you know, unrestrained capitalism kleptocracy, really.
Yeah.
Wherein you can have these people who are like, it's the Democrats, while at the same time they're voting for candidates who support the very policies that are putting them where they are.
Right.
Like, if you're going to, if Alex is going to bitch about the opioid crisis, the very guy that you wanted to take things over is doing nothing about it.
He's talking.
And being public.
He's talking.
These people are right in why they're angry, and they are tricked by the people they should be angry at.
Right.
That's what propaganda is. Like North Korea.
Well,
why are you guys fucking starving, and yet at the same time you believe your leader is a god?
Propaganda.
Exactly.
Yep.
It's not a psyop so much as it is, if you shout lies loud enough, a lot of people are going to believe you.
There's a thin line between marketing and propaganda, but that line is very important.
Right.
And
that line is Matthew McConaughey.
Hold on now.
He does Lincoln ads or whatever.
Oh, yeah, I guess he does.
Yeah. Where he dresses all real nice and then he jumps into a pool for some reason.
He does Lincoln.
That makes me want to buy a car.
He does Lincoln ads, and then he was also in that movie, The Lincoln Lawyer.
And he was also Abraham Lincoln.
What's going on?
It's crazy.
So anyway, my way I want to put a button on all this is I'd like to thank Alan for sending us down this path in history.
Absolutely.
And although it was not really all that much about Osama bin Laden, we got to experience some very important things in the mythology of Alex Jones.
Every time travel episode we've ever done, you're like, oh, okay, it's 2000. He's going to do Y2K all over it.
Mm-hmm.
Nope.
It's camps at the airport.
Nope.
Concentration camps at the Austin airport.
Yeah.
Except for the one where Reagan got butt-fucked.
That one is great.
Yeah. That
one was great.
That was targeted.
He wasn't necessarily butt-fucked.
He was pegged.
He was definitely pegged.
Pegged.
We all know he was pegged.
We'll come back to you.
Look, Reagan, good on you.
Yeah. You live your life. So, I mean, we've gone through a bunch of bullshit, the currency being illegal, narratives, the idea that, Madeleine Albright and Walter Cronkite, came out publicly and said that Osama bin Laden was killed before. All that stuff is a load of shit. All these things are really easily demonstrably not true. The Chicken Man narrative he has is full of shit.
But the Chicken Man himself.
Some people,
American hero?
Some people say he was a good man, gave out eggs.
American hero.
Perhaps. you know what? I think he's not as cool as the San Diego Chicken.
No.
Isn't that who? Isn't
he's
that the
not
mascot?
As cool as Mike the Headless Chicken.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah, definitely not.
And also then we just have all this FEMA camp shit. And it's interesting to see where it really came together for Alex.
Yeah.
Like to know. Oh, and also I listened to the day after this. He doesn't talk about it very much.
Ever.
You know why? Because he has Charlie Daniels as a guest.
Wow.
Yeah. And he, one of his questions he asks is, how did you come up with the devil?
Don't, don't. No.
Yeah.
No.
Charlie Daniels is on to talk about how evil Agenda 21 is.
Right.
Because he had made a documentary about Agenda 21.
But we got to get to the bottom of this devil went down to Georgia.
Right. And Charlie Daniels' answer, underwhelming. He has no story. He has no story about how he came up with it.
Yeah, I started writing stuff down. Wait, it was predictive programming to get the people from Georgia to be comfortable with the devil.
Indeed it was.
Yep.
So, Alex, you're full of shit, but it is interesting to take this time capsule, and I appreciate that for what it is.
Absolutely. Let me ask you a question, Dan.
I got it.
Have you ever been to a website?
No.
Okay, well, you
should
try.
You can't prove that I ever have.
You should try going to knowledgefight.com.
Oh, my God, I hear that's a great website.
It's a great website.
Have you ever been to Twitter?
I have, yes, I'm passingly familiar with
it. But
Twitter.
You're not on Twitter anymore.
I'm not on Twitter
but
anymore.
But we are at knowledge_fight.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah, it is.
Well, we say we.
Yeah, it's
mainly
it's me.
Yeah.
We're also on Facebook.
And
when we say we, that's also me.
Yeah. you should hire a social media manager. Mm-hmm. The thing about this podcast that is so great is that by design, you have to do all the work.
And I
because
like
if I start doing any work, it demolishes the entire point of this podcast.
Well, but I like it that way too. I don't think less of you for not doing work or anything
right.
like that.
Right.
I'm fine.
I started out with a healthy dose of insecurity about it, and then you know, I'm cool.
Good. That's how it works.
Now there's one guy
Hold on.
Know.
We're also on iTunes.
Oh, we are also on iTunes.
And if you'd like to support the show, please go to knowledgefight.com and click the support the show button.
Absolutely.
Like I said, if we can get that number up 35% more of our goal, we will do a full length commentary. I'll put out a Twitter poll of like three options of Alex's documentaries, and I promise you this, spend as long as it takes going through and debunking every point in it.
And I will write jokes.
Mm-hmm. And we'll do a commentary track over it that might end up being like 5 hours
and
long.
Now that we've got webcams and the like, we can actually, although we can't get the rights to the,
no.
Well, if it's on YouTube, no, I don't.
We just do a riff track.
Yeah, we'll have to do a riff track.
Yeah, it'll be fine. But yeah, if you guys want to support that, create more work for me.
Yeah.
But I do want to do it, so.
It would be nice, and also, jobs.
Mm-hmm.
We're creating
jobs.
We're not doing them.
Yeah. I'm doing something, but.
You know, when he was talking about a CIA dentist dad.
Right.
Being approached.
You think about teeth.
I think about one guy I know was approached. All right.
Interesting theory.
Rebuffed those approaches.
Right. He's a stalwart.
Then went to a different CIA dentist.
Oh, man.
Who put CIA psyop teeth in him.
Psyop teeth.
And let me tell you something, as tragic as that story is.
You really would think that CIA psyop teeth would sound better in a mouth. You really think, you know?
What are you talking about? The budget is tight, Dan. We can't
true.
Be focusing on fucking appearances.
No, I mean sound, aesthetics. I'm talking about, you don't want that marble gummy mouth. My buddy Ryan Beck has a great uh-huh. joke that he doesn't do anymore, which pisses me off because I think it's a great joke. It's like, hey, why do old people always look like they're chewing something? It's a good joke. Fuck yourself. You're an asshole. Don't stonewall Ryan Beck's joke.
Look. Anyways, I'm saying go fuck yourself, John Rappaport.
May the wolf choke on your flesh.
Andy in Kansas, you're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Hello, Alex.
Alex, I'm a first-time caller. I'm a huge fan. I love your work.
I love you.